88 An abduction with a twist. Laura had recently left a 20-year marriage. She had some feelings of guilt over leaving, but it was something she felt she had to do. She was beginning to assert herself in the world in her own way. She was studying hypnotherapy as a new vocation and had just completed her course in SRT. She realized she had to do some personal work in a private session. In the class, we covered the various types of attaching entities. We had briefly described the ET, but not abductions. That subject is covered in the SRT Intermediate course. We were about an hour into the session and she had just completed an important piece of entity releasement work. During the pause that followed, Judith had the distinct impression that Laura might have been abducted when she was young. A direct question about such an event cannot be asked. We are always careful about asking leading questions. Clients in altered state can sometimes be easily led. False memories can be implanted or generated. This is a great disservice to the client. Laura had no knowledge on the subjects of ETs, UFOs, or science fiction. She had only a vague interest and had not read any accounts of abductions or anything related. While such questions as these can seem to be leading, nothing in the questioning described or suggested what she later recounted. Judith began the questions. Judith, Laura, have you had memory lapses, or time lapses? Laura, yes, she answered quickly, firmly, and with certainty. J, how long has that been going on? L, I can't. I don't remember my childhood. I have pictures of it. I've been having more come to me recently, sort of flooding in. I'll remember things. J, when was the last time, in your life, that you had a time lapse or a memory lapse? L, just don't have clear memories. J, all right. Has your thinking also been confused? L, colon yes. J, how long has that been going on? L, past 2 or 3 years. I don't know. A while. J, when you hear the stories about the ET energies, about the things that happen with ETs, what happens in your heart, in your gut, inside of you? L, nothing. 59 CEVLJ, have you ever seen any of the pictures of the ETs? L, colon NO, HMMM. Judith motioned me to continue. Bill, have you read any of the books like Whitley Strieber's Communion, or any others? L, no. Drive. B, have you ever been drawn to read any of those stories? L, no. Drive. B, is there an aversion? L, no. I just haven't. I'm interested. It's interesting. But, I just haven't. Drive. B, have you seen the cover pictures on Whitley Strieber's book, with the being with the large head, and the dark eyes, dark slanty eyes? L, yeah, it sounds familiar. I don't remember seeing any pictures of it. J, as we talk about it now, does anything happen inside? Any sensations? Any flutters? L, MMM, my chest feels heavy, right here, come, like it's weighted, like it's heavy. Drive. B, if you could focus in on that heaviness where it's weighted right there, what image comes? L, bright light. Drive. B, focus on that bright light and listen. Is there a sound in that heaviness in your chest? L, a pounding. There's a pounding. Far off pounding. Drive. B, keep listening. Keep watching. What happens next? L, it's a bright room. And it's light. A lot of light. It's like a surgical room. Like a tile all around. Like, I don't know. White walls. White everywhere. White everywhere. White everywhere. Light. Drive. B, sterile. Like a surgery room. White. L, yes. Lights everywhere. Light. Just light. Light. Drive. B, equipment in this surgery room. L, far off. I can't. I have a sense of it, but I can't see it cause it's so bright. Drive. B, MMM. Pause. What's happening in this room? L, it feels like I'm on something cold, and I can't move. Drive. B, sitting. Lying down. L, I'm lying down. I'm on my back. Drive. B, so you're facing upward. You can see the light. L, it's bright all around. Pause. And there's things. People. Something moving around. But I can't see cause it's so bright. And I can't move. Laura's voice was rising in pitch, indicating some anxiety. Drive. B. And you can sense their presence. L. Something. Yes. Drive. B. Even in the brightness, can you get a sense of their shapes as they move around? 60 close encounters of the possession kind. L. No. I can't. This isn't really. The tone of her voice was expressing her incredulity at what she was experiencing and describing. Drive. B. Gently. Trust what comes. L. There's these things, moving all around, and they have, and I can't move. And they have, arms, something, they can reach. Laura let out a little troubled sigh. Drive. B. What? L. Something's petting my forehead. Drive. B. Is it comforting, or something else? L. No. It wants to be comforting, but it feels weird. It feels cold and hard and clammy, like someone's petting me with a sweaty hand, except for it's cold. Drive. B. Yes. They're trying to be comforting. L. Colon yes. J. What age is Laura as she lies here and she's being petted? L. 13. J. Go on. What happens? The petting on the forehead. L. Yes. Come. I think they come up and they're poking me. Drive. B. Poking you. L. Just like reaching out and poking me like I'm some kind of something that feels weird. Like I'm something new to poke and touch, and see how it feels. I feel like a bug. Like they're curious. They run up and poke, like on my arms, and then they run away. Like it's a funny thing for them to do. 2. I don't feel afraid, but it's weird. And it's very bright. It's just bright light all around. And I can't really see anything. Just sort of images. And I know that they're there. J. Any other humans in that bright place with you? L. No. Just these things around. Drive. B. The brightness. The light. Is it coming from lights or lamps or bulbs? Can you tell? L. It seems like it is, from around the edges of the room and over my body and around the thing I'm laying on. Laura was highly hypnotizable, and, I suspected, highly suggestible. The questions about the light bulbs, lamps, and equipment in the room were meant to test her suggestibility. We had briefly questioned her about her knowledge of UFOs, the literature on abductions, and the pictures of aliens to determine if she had any background information or preconceived notions of the subject. Apparently, she didn't. Experiencers don't report lamps or bulbs. J. What's on your body? L. Nothing. This realization disturbed Laura. She was uncovered and these things were treating her like some kind of live specimen. Drive. B. Are they still touching, poking you? L. No. They're busy. Doing things. Something. Off there they each have their little tasks to do. Whatever that is. I can't tell. I can't move. 61 Savvy Laura took a quick breath and let out a quick sigh. J. What happened just now? What happened? L. A door opened. Some opening. Something came in. It's scary. Her voice was hushed. Drive. B. Not like the others. L. No. No. It has something. Whispers. But what? What? What is this? Drive. B. What's that one doing? What is it that it has? L. It's. The others are moving all around now. Getting ready. I don't know. I can't tell what it's doing. Drive. B. This one isn't like the others, is it? L. No. It's like, in charge. Everybody. Pause. I know it's in charge. It's the one. It's like being in a dentist's office and waiting for the dentist to come in. That's what it's like. Emphatically. Like waiting for the dentist to come in. J. How are you feeling when it comes in? L. Scared now. Really nervous. J. What happens next? L. Whisper. I don't know. Everything's blurry. J. What's the next thing you remember? The very next thing you remember. L. Loud voice. Hey lady, are you okay? Hey lady, are you alright? Drive. B. Who's saying this? L. In tears. Little boy. Sobs. I'm on the sidewalk. I passed out or something. There's this little boy leaning. Oh. Two little boys leaning over me and one of them is saying, hey lady, are you okay? Drive. B. And are you okay? L. I don't know. I think so. I fell down. I passed out. I don't know what I did. I fainted. I fell. I was walking through the field and I got to the edge of it and I fell down. And there's this bright light over me and it's hot. It's hot like the sun's really hot and real sweaty. And I'm going to throw up. I feel sick to my stomach. And I'm crying. And this boy's saying, "Hey lady, are you okay? These little boys are afraid of me. Drive. B. They're afraid of you. L. Well, I'm laying there on the ground and they don't know what's wrong with me. They're little, like six, little boys, and they found me. Drive. B. What were you doing in the field? L. I was walking through. I'm on the way to the doctor's. Drive. B. Do you often walk through this field? L. No, I usually don't walk. But my mother was working. She couldn't give me a ride. Crying. Drive. B. Let's skip back to when you left home and started across the field, before you fainted. Is it a normal day? L. Colon yes. Drive. B. Do you feel normal? L. Colon yes. 62 Close encounters of the possession kind. Laura was on her way to the doctor's office for a physical checkup. She sometimes walked the path through the field. On this hot summer day she noticed it suddenly became windy. Not a normal wind, but a swirling wind, kicking up dust, like a little dust devil, she said, kicking up dirt around her feet, bigger than a dust devil. It came up from behind her and she had to turn around to look and she saw how weird it was. Drive. B. What happens next? L. Colon off. This is. Drive. B. Trust what comes. Trust the images that come. L. It's hot. I'm really hot. And there's this really bright light around me. All of a sudden, like flashing, like somebody shining a mirror in my eyes or something. Drive. B. Different from the sun. L. Yeah, I can't. And it's really windy, and the dirt's all kicking around and I can't really see. And I'm putting my hand over my eyes. Drive. B. Yeah. L. And then I'm in this room. Her voice suddenly became very calm, subdued. Laura was walking slowly along a curved hallway with her hands out. She was numb and couldn't feel anything, though she was aware of hands on her back urging her along. Someone was holding her wrists, and their touch felt hard. She suddenly gasped. They were taking her into a room. It was very bright and they put her on the cold table. She couldn't move. Something like people were moving around the room, doing things. Something started petting her forehead. In this very bright room, a door opened. Laura could just move her eyes enough to see the darkness in the area where the door opened. The surfaces of the room emanated light. The walls were light so that everything was bright with no shadows. There were no bulbs or fixtures of any kind. Her mind did not accept my earlier suggestion about light fixtures in the room. The door closed and it was light again. A being walked into the room. He appeared larger than the others, and the smaller beings deferred to him. He was clearly in charge. He was carrying something she could not identify. She thought of him as the doctor. He stood on the left side of the table. The one petting her forehead stepped back but kept its hands lightly touching the sides of Laura's head. Drive. B. What happens next? L. He's putting something in my mouth. He's using some kind of tool or something. Got my mouth open. Like the dentist. He's using some kind of tool. I can't feel anything. But he's pushing me with it. I can feel him like prodding me, or nudging me, or poking me, or doing something in there. Feels like I'm getting a filling. Drive. B. It reminds you of a dentist putting a filling in your tooth. Is it indeed tooth? Can you tell? Or some other part of your mouth that you can't feel? L. No, it's up further in my jaw. He's putting something up further in my 63 savvy jaw. In the bone, up inside. Laura had experienced and was describing the placement of an implant in the bone near her left ear, through her mouth. It was a typical abduction scene. The flash of light, unconsciousness, a feeling of numbness as the beings escorted her along a curved hallway, the brightly lit room with the cold table, the smaller beings preparing her and perhaps anesthetizing her, the doctor implanting the device. Her memory was blank from the moment of the little whirlwind that kicked up the dust and the bright hot light until the moment she looked up and the little boys asked, "Hey lady, are you okay?" She continued on to her doctor's office where she had been scheduled at 1 p.m. She arrived at nearly 5 o'clock. She called home. Her sister scolded her, her mother was angry and drove to the office. Laura could not account for the lost time, and no one believed her. They put her on an examining table and brought a bright light down toward her. She fell off the table onto the floor and nearly passed out. Then she vomited. The doctor thought she'd had a mild heat stroke. Her mother thought she was weak and dizzy from not eating. In the SRT training, we teach the process of remote spirit releasement, communicating with other beings at a distance. We suggested to Laura the possibility of speaking with the doctor in the surgery room through her voice mechanism, channeling his words. We had never attempted this before. In fact, it was our first abduction case. We didn't know what could be done about the implant now, but we wanted to find out. It didn't belong in Laura's skull. She agreed to try the remote process. Laura quickly located the moment when the doctor entered the room and stood beside her left shoulder. She did not express fear this time. Drive. B. Can you see his face at all? Can you see his eyes? L. Yes. They're big. They're big. They almost look human, but they don't have any color. They're black. There's no white. Drive. B. Set across from each other like human eyes. L. Colon yes. Drive. B. What shape is each eye? L. Like almonds. Drive. B. What color is his skin? Can you tell? L. It's flesh color, but like wax. Drive. B. I'm going to direct these questions at him. More firmly. To you, doctor. You've done this before, haven't you? With humans. More softly. What does he say? L. Yes. Her voice was softer, steadier, flat. Drive. B. How many humans, doctor, have you placed such devices in? L. Thousands. Drive. B. For what purpose? L. Information. To hear, to listen, to track. Information was gathered, studied and stored. This was his job, none other. He knew no more than this about the operation. He only did this one procedure. 64 close encounters of the possession kind. The doctor only did this procedure on people. This sounded like a recording on a telephone answering machine. I asked if we were in contact with the doctor. The answer was no. It was a recording. I requested the presence of the doctor. After about 30 seconds, Laura spoke with a softer voice. Someone else had come online. This one had a bit more information. Yes, he replied. This was his job, and he did not concern himself with the information after it was gathered. Another worker sent the information to a command station. The doctor stated that hundreds of substations, as he called his craft, were above the earth, over every country, every human population site. People were transformed by light particle, on a molecular level, and transported to the craft. There they were reintegrated into physical form, implanted, then returned to their previous location in the same way. Yes, it was the physical body that was taken in this manner. This group only dealt with the pubescent humans. This group did not place the implants in nose or sinus. They performed only this procedure, after which they would monitor to gather information. That was their purpose, their job, and the doctor did not need to know, nor was he concerned with any other level of the work or any higher purpose. We asked the doctor to connect with the higher level command station, but there was no response from that level. That link was apparently blocked to us. We requested that this procedure, which had violated so many humans, be stopped. Surprisingly, the doctor agreed. He saw that it was a violation of free will, though he had not considered such before this moment. He agreed to deactivate the device implanted in Laura from where he was. He could remove the device only if she were brought aboard the craft again. That decision was left for her to make at another time. We could do no more in that session. Laura disconnected from the doctor and the scene. She visualized her body filled with light, and came fully into present moment consciousness, fully in control of her own body and mind. The session was complete. 89 Abduction and Transformation Drive. John Mack, Harvard psychiatrist and author of Abduction, writes about 13 cases of alien abduction in which the typical intrusive procedures were conducted. There was the pain, the trauma, the extracted fetuses, similar to other reported cases. And yet some of his patients eventually experienced a spiritual transformation as the result of the abduction experience. 90. This notion of potential spiritual transformation has begun to surface in some abduction reports. If there exists any possibility of a higher purpose in this purported alien invasion of our sovereignty, we must maintain our receptivity to new ideas and concepts of the possible evolution of human consciousness. Enmeshed in the terror and pain of the trauma, most people have seen the alien presence and activity as intrusion and personal violation. Few people have looked beyond the victimization to seek anything of value. 65. Save, is there truly some redeeming value in the experiences? Or is there some subtle influence distorting the perceptions and interpretations of the experiencers? Is it real? Or is it mind control? Some investigators firmly believe that the alien abduction scenes are implanted in the human subconscious and become screen memories or cover memories, concealing the memory of actual experiences of mind control experimentation by human scientists. These accusatory speculations are often aimed at CIA covert operations. By definition, a screen memory or cover memory is a real memory or thought, not a fantasized one, which is used as a shield to conceal an allied memory which might be too painful or emotionally unacceptable. 91. If such implanted memories include not only the images, but also the psychological and physical components, that is a truly amazing feat of hypnosis, thought projection, or electromagnetic radiation. One investigator, who claims to have connections with upper-level government and military sources in several countries, suggests that the forcible, painful, intrusive alien abductions are indeed connected with human agencies. He speculates that contacts with alien beings who advise caution for the human race, produce healing for the contactee, and inspire spiritually transformative experiences are just what they seem to be. Perhaps the true picture is more vast and complex than anyone could imagine. Recently, there have been reports of a number of experiencers of traumatic abductions who have suddenly changed their attitude toward the abductors and the entire abduction experience. They now report spiritual growth and transformation. There is no explanation for this abrupt shift. It's as if there were a time release signal going off in their mind, suddenly activating this response. While they may describe logical justification for the change, it remains a mystery to many observers. There is certainly a parallel between the intrusive alien activity and the behavior of the classic forces of darkness, Lucifer and his legions of demons, which were cast into Earth and continue to plague humans. 92. The hallmarks are not identical, but they are similar. Intrusion without permission, violation without regard for physical and mental suffering, taking control with absolutely no regard for personal sovereignty and freedom. However, when we find the eights under the influence of the dark force entities, there is no doubt about the differentiation between eights and DFEs. Drawing from the narratives of thousands of clients in altered states, it seems the legions of demons under the command of Lucifer were scattered far and wide in the universe and not confined to the planet Earth. These dark beings plague other life forms with the same intrusiveness, arrogance, and disregard for personal integrity that they impose on human beings. They cause as much disruption, chaos, confusion, and destruction, and make the same promises of wealth, power, control, and domination. And beings all over the universe have believed and accepted these false promises, and have suffered the consequences. 66. Close encounters of the possession kind. CHAPTER 5. The hybrids. The human/alien hybrid. A terribly disturbing element of the UFO abduction phenomenon is the reported genetic experimentation and breeding program. 93. Many women recall being probed through the abdomen and the vagina, apparently for the purpose of extracting eggs. Men have recalled being stimulated to ejaculation by various means, from suction tubes to forced intercourse with human females and alien beings which appeared to be female. A few men have reported being seduced or even forced into sexual intercourse with what first appeared to be a human female, then seeing it change into something definitely alien and repulsive. People have reported this sexual aggressiveness by shapeshifters in their own bedrooms. Many women have been diagnosed as being pregnant only to suddenly find, at about 10 to 12 weeks in the gestation period, that they are no longer pregnant. This happens without pain, bleeding or discharge of any kind. The pregnancy simply disappears. Some of the women who report this situation claim they have not been with a man, This mysterious pregnant/not-pregnant situation has been going on for many years. 94. Some female experiences also recall under hypnosis the incubatoriums, which contain glass containers filled with fluid. In this fluid, they see what appear to be floating embryos, not quite human, connected to wires and tubes. There are also nurseries in which women are shown, and urged to touch, and even hug, small children who appear to be from 2 to 5 or 6 years old. These children are slender with large heads and eyes, not alien, not quite human. They are described as listless, frail, and they do respond to the human touch. The aliens who manage these nurseries don't seem to be able to nurture the children. These children are the hybrids, the result of the genetic manipulation which some people say is part of our own planetary, galactic, even spiritual evolution. 95. This provokes some alarming speculations. Is this the next missing link in human evolution? Have aliens manipulated our genetic code in ancient times? Is it possible humans were seeded from some other extraterrestrial civilization millions of years ago? Is the abduction phenomenon, which is being reported around the world, part of human evolution and transformation of consciousness? 96. Or will the human race be bred out of existence in the future as the perfect hybrid is developed? Is it possible that alien sexual encounters gave rise to the pre-Christian belief in the incubus and succubus, the demons which were thought to forcibly engage in sex with humans? They were accused of raping women and extracting sperm from men. In early theology, people believed that children could issue from such a 67 Savi union, though this belief was later discarded from church doctrine. 97. Such was the theme of movies like Damien and Rosemary's Baby. As with any experiments involving biological material, some of these genetically engineered children survive, some do not. What happens to the soul of a non-physical or quasi-physical being when it separates from its quasi-physical form? Which light does it go to, the golden white of our own reincarnational cycle, or the blue or green of the homeworld of the alien experimenters? Many of them don't find their way home at all, but attach to living humans. When we find the entities of the failed hybrid children, they are usually in small groups, banded together in fear, isolation, and confusion. They suffer the same emotions of half-breeds throughout human history. They fear being rejected by both sides of their ancestry, much like the offspring of the Caucasian and the Native American in the early days of this country, the whites and blacks, the American soldier and the Vietnamese women during and after the Vietnam War. The half-breed has been the target of hatred, prejudice, rejection, and the scapegoat of human projection for a long time. Like any other earthbound entity, they maintain the personality characteristics of the half-breed, the human/alien hybrid they were when they were alive. They perceive themselves as that. Beings of light are universally equal, whole and complete, intact and without blemish, taking on the frailties of personality imbues a being with emotions such as fear, preconceived notions of prejudice, and confusion. Even as attached spirit entities, they seem frail, vulnerable, and timid in the perception of the client who discovers them. They hesitate to project their thoughts so the client can repeat their words aloud. In session, these beings must be treated very gently. We call on the light for all the help we can get to escort them home. They express their doubts about being accepted into the golden white light. However, when they perceive the angelic beings coming toward them and extending the energy of love, they react with joy. They are happy to be accepted in the light. The alien/alien hybrid. After reading several books detailing the human/alien hybrid situation, it was no surprise to find the entities of the failed hybrid children. 98. Then we began to find something else. What the clients described just didn't fit with what we had read about hybrids. The alien/alien hybrid was a startling discovery. In one case, the parents were from quite disparate groups. The white, not Caucasian, beings were reported to be refined, spiritually evolved and benevolent. The grayish beings, not typical grays, were coarse, not at all evolved, and rather boorish, if not brutish. The hybrid offspring of this pairing were transparent, of a higher vibration and invisible to the grayish aliens, yet rejected by the whites. Like the leper, they had no place to go. In session, we sometimes improvise. Whether it is pure fantasy or inspired imagination, it often works for the client. Judith sensed that there was a place of 68 close encounters of the possession kind light and love for these discarded beings, and she called out to the guardian of light from that place. After she did this, the client perceived the guardian as it approached. The little one soon trusted the guardian of light as it gladly embraced the alien/alien hybrids with love and took them home to their own place in the light. We can be sure that nothing is as simple as it seems at first presentation. The initial reports of hybrid children were shocking to people. Now there are t-shirts with drawings of cute little hybrid children available at any UFO conference. Many people seem to have grown immune to the implications behind the phenomenon. The sight of these frail-looking children tugs at the heartstrings like the big-eyed children in Walter Keane paintings, which were popular some years ago. Few people are unmoved by the plight of children in our world today. So many are hungry, abused, parentless. The open-hearted acceptance of these hybrid children may blunt our caution toward those who are responsible for their production and dull the memory of all that led up to this point in their project. If these experiences reflect a true reality and such hybrids are introduced into human civilization, what will become of them? Will they be rejected as other human/human hybrids have been in our history? Will human beings accept them and make them part of the fabric of humankind? These difficult questions may confront us sooner than we expect. 69 Sev 1C HAPDR6 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. The different types of close encounters with aliens have been designated by Roman numeral. CI, nearby UFO sightings. CII, physical and mental effects on people, strange and unusual markings on the ground, and purported physical artifacts of alien spacecraft. CIII, visual contact with alien beings. CIV, uninvited, forceful alien abductions. CV, intentional invitation to alien contact, as developed by the XETI Group 100-101. I am proposing CVI as the designation for the condition we have found so frequently in altered state sessions with clients. Intrusion and parasitic attachment by non-human beings from another place, the alien beings or EATs. Historically, this condition is termed possession. In these cases, the possessing entity is not a demimonde, but an otherworldly or other dimensional being. There is a popular romantic notion, perhaps more frantic than romantic, that friendly EATs, our space brothers, are poised to assist us, or have been poised for some time, just waiting for the call. Bumper stickers read, "Beam me up, Scotty." In the popular movie, Independence Day, crowds stood on the roofs of tall buildings holding signs pleading and inviting, "Take me home, welcome to Earth, take me with you, hello brother, remember Maine," and other such greetings and pleas. Many people call out for a visitation by extraterrestrials, our cousins, from other planetary neighborhoods. The motivation may be curiosity or a genuine call for help for this disintegrating civilization. The EATs may come at the call, and the person calling had better have something important to say. The extraterrestrials are serious and have their own missions to accomplish. The call for help can be interpreted as permission to interact with the human being in the form of abduction or attachment. This attachment can be enormously destructive for the hapless host/victim. Some people have invited space brothers to channel through them, to use their voice mechanism for disseminating words of wisdom. An opportunistic discarnate spirit, astral entity, or nearby alien can take advantage of anyone offering such an open invitation. Channeling or mediumship is defined as a temporary possession by another being, with permission of the host, for a specified purpose and limited duration. In many cases of channeling, the being coming in and speak ing through the voice of the willing human refuses to leave at the end of the channeling session. This becomes a permanent spirit possession or attachment by an extraterrestrial, an alien being. 70 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. It seems that these non-physical aliens have somehow infiltrated the subconscious minds of a great number of people, with or without invitation. Reportedly, the beings can telepathically project words, exert mental control, even produce physical and emotional comfort during an abduction. It is possible the aliens project all the emotions a person is feeling, even the images and experiences of an abduction. Most of our clients in clinical session are willing to speak the words or thoughts that just pop up in response to our questions, whatever that might be. They describe any physical sensations that emerge during our dialogue. We encourage them to trust what comes to mind and express it right out loud. During therapy sessions, We have spoken with the alter personalities and people diagnosed with DID, or dissociative identity disorder, formally termed MPD, or multiple personality disorder. 102. There is usually an alter who knows which ones among them are created within the personality system, which ones are past life personalities awakened due to a traumatic event, and which are invited from outside, that is, attached entities of various types. Clients without any sign of DID, MPD, also uncover other personalities which are decidedly not their own. These others speak through the voice of the client. We have conversed with personalities who claim to be other people, some dead, some alive. These entities are the attached souls or soul fragments of human beings. For the client who seeks assistance for personal, emotional, physical, and sometimes spiritual problems, it is an unpleasant surprise to discover that an earthbound human entity is causing the problem. It can leave a person feeling helpless and unable to protect themselves from such violation of personal boundaries. Yet for most people, the concept of a spirit world where such things happen is at least familiar. This is a popular theme in fiction, both in books and movies. In the movie, Maxie, Glenn Close plays a young wife who is invaded by the spirit of an actress who had lived in their San Francisco apartment decades before. When she realizes the situation, she delivers a great line: "I'm a woman, not a fluff house." In therapy sessions, we have been challenged by beings which claim to be the minions of Lucifer. They don't call themselves demons. That is a designation imposed by people. This often causes disbelief and rejection in people who refuse to accept the existence of demons and a devil. It can cause fear in people who believe in the religious notions about the existence of such beings. The most common reaction for clients who discover a resident at is incredulity. It is such a foreign notion. However, the client has no doubt what it is after a few minutes of exploring and questioning, because most people carry two, sometimes all three main types of entities. The client can easily tell the difference between the different types that are present. Most people are totally unaware of any such presence before a session. In some cases, a person knows something is not right, either emotionally or physically, and it's somehow indescribable. As the other being answers the Discovery 71 Savvy questions, the client hears the narrative in their own voice. This is not an account of their own experience. It is obviously someone or something else describing something quite different. However, it involves their body and mind. It is clear to them after hearing and speaking this dialogue that they have been invaded by an alien consciousness, an extraterrestrial. It is distressing. It is unbelievable. It does not fit into any preconceived notions of reality. And yet, here it is, in their own thoughts, in their own words, and in their own experience. Through the voices of our clients, we have encountered aliens who claim to be from far away, from other worlds. They describe several different missions, functions, or purposes for being here. They are the colonists, expansionists, scientists, hybrids, conquerors, and worse. The majority of our clients in an altered state of consciousness discover these other personalities, other beings or entities, other voices. When they explore the farther reaches of the subconscious levels of their own minds, some of these others are friendly, even helpful, others are neutral, still others are opportunistic and are using the energy and resources of the host, while others are hostile and downright harmful. All these parasitic intruders exact a cost from the host. At the present time, more than half of our clients discover attached eats during sessions, and other therapists who use SRT techniques also discover such intruders. The extraterrestrials describe various reasons for being here, but most have no compunction about the invasion, no hesitation regarding the violation of the free will of the affected human. Basically, there is no concern for our individual sovereignty as a sentient species. These intruders may be lost, marooned or retired here on the Earth. Some claim to be using the eyes and ears of the human as they themselves do not have the proper apparatus to perceive this reality, dimension, or plane. They assert that they cannot interpret the band of the electromagnetic spectrum which we see as color, nor can they interpret sound waves. Some of the ETs declare they are here on scientific expeditions, much as human scientists explore the jungles, oceans, and remote places on this globe. Normally, the attached ETs are not hostile nor aggressive when discovered, nor are they threatening. They are intrusive, secretive, and do not like to be disturbed in their work. When questioned, they will speak and they don't hesitate to disclose their purpose for being with the client. They don't think there is anything we can do to disturb them or interfere with their activity. Many of the attachees claim that they have been with the client not only since early childhood, but also in former lifetimes here on Earth. In a few cases, they claim they came from the same home world as the client and that they were friends, family, or colleagues there. These connections go back a long time. A few clients hesitate to get rid of a being with such an intertwined history. Some aliens, through the voice of the client in altered state, assert flatly that they are taking over the world in this manner. They plan to simply suppress the human will, control human bodies and take up residence here in these physical biological vehicles. Further probing reveals the Dark Force Entities, or DFEs, 72 close encounters of the possession kind influencing or controlling these EATs. This aggressive, invasive, overpowering behavior is an almost universal sign of DFE infestation. In some cases, the intrusive EATs claim to be operating under the spiritual principle of universal oneness, and since they are part of the One, and humans are also part of the One, they are not interfering with someone else, only exploring the larger dimensions of the oneself. This is a distortion of spiritual principles in the pursuit of selfish and intrusive goals. There may be many intelligent species in the universe. If we accept the possibility that the information coming through the consciousness and voice of our clients is valid, then we may assume that a great number of extraterrestrials are already here among our population, and many of them are interfering with living humans in much the same way that discarnate apes and DFEs disrupt the normal course of human life. Many folks have a strange save me attitude towards supposed higher beings from other places. An invitation to a net group may bring visitors, yet if they haven't saved humanity before this, why would they do it now? An invitation to the Space Brothers may bring in the Dark Eats, and that would be the beginning of a bondage that could last a long time. SRT techniques are gentle though firm. Each type of attached being is guided to make the choice to leave and cease interfering with the human host. The client learns to recognize and heal the vulnerability, secure the opening, and rescind the invitation that allowed the attachment. In the present life or during some other existence, it is not unusual to find that the client, very curious at some time in their life, actually called out for someone from the skies to come to them. The response can be a big surprise. Even when a human being does not invite the aliens, they come anyway from somewhere out there. These are the lost ones, the colonists and invaders, the scientists, or the EATs who are controlled by the DFEs. On the lighter side, some of those who come may be teachers, even some aspect of ourselves from some future time or alternate dimension, or they may be entering the fabric of our time-space continuum to bring us hope for our future. Whether or not the narratives are valid, a degree of emotional and sometimes physical healing occurs with most of our clients as a result of regression therapy, recovery of soul fragmentation, spirit releasement therapy, and at-releasement therapy. As a therapist, this is my first goal. As an investigator, I continue to be enormously curious. Yet there is no way to prove or disprove these situations. However, the consistency of such narratives from many hundreds of clients seems to indicate a real and widespread condition which warrants further serious, unbiased investigation. Self-protection with awareness and understanding. The client can learn to pay attention to the signs of approaching intruders. A person can learn to say no to an opportunistic entity. This certainly helps restore the feeling of personal power and the ability 73 Savvy to protect oneself. This has been suggested in several recent books. 103 Some experiencers claim they have been able to interrupt and stop an abduction by various strategies, including reciting the Lord's Prayer, feeling and expressing righteous anger, visualizing a fountain of light pouring from their body, extending the energy of love rather than fear. The approaching EATs seem to hesitate, then just fade away. 74 CHAPTER 7 The alien colonists in clinical sessions. We listen and write down the information that emerges from clients in altered states of consciousness. The narratives describe the aliens, their stated purposes for being here, methods of operation, and eventual goals. Other therapists around the country are discovering similar information. There is a disturbing consistency in these reports, independently gathered, that supports the validity of the experience. This is what we have discovered. Some alien groups seem to be intent on expanding their reach in the universe and establishing colonial outposts on other planets. This is certainly not a new idea. Colonialism has a long and painful history right here on Earth. These groups are usually under the influence of the DFEs. The SRT techniques are very effective in releasing these intruders. These invasive ETs choose to make use of the living bodies of the human inhabitants of Earth. It is convenient for them to simply infiltrate the minds of people and take control. This is not unlike the theme of the movie of some years ago entitled, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. They are bent on taking over by establishing squatters' rights, with men, women, and children on this planet. They may or may not be hostile when discovered. They are arrogant and certain of their superiority. They are here and there is nothing we can do about it. Or so they boast. When none of the basic SRT techniques seem to be working quickly enough, I appeal to their recollection of their own history. I do a brief past life regression on an alien attached to the mind and body of my client. They are receptive and cooperative in this activity because they think nothing will be able to get rid of them. Here is an example of such an interaction. I take clear notes regarding which voices the clients and which voices are the others. Drive. B. Recall. In the history of your own homeworld, a time of invasion by a superior species, someone from another place. Consult your computer, your libraries, the memories of your wise ones. I use anything that pops into my mind at this point. Recall another time when your own people were taken over by someone else. Locate such an event. What happened? There is usually some hesitation at this point as the process begins. The instructions recall and locate are powerful commands to the subconscious mind. It actually stops them for a moment, and they remember such an invasion. Is it real? Am I inspired in those moments by some higher aspect of consciousness to ask for such a memory? Am I also in an altered state to the degree that I tap into the its own memory banks? Or is it just suggestion and imagination? Mind and the clients. I just know it works. There is nearly always a response. And the 75 close encounters of the possession kind save process goes to completion. That is, the others. Leaving the client feels better. Through the client's voice, they will begin revealing the story of an ancient time when just such an invasion occurred. I continue to probe. I ask what happened, how their people reacted to the unwanted, uninvited intrusion, and what they did to defend themselves. And they tell me. They give me the solution to the present situation. And then they agree to leave. Drive. B. Now you know how we feel about your invasion here. Compare your reactions and feelings to our own as you come here uninvited. Can you understand our resistance to your intrusion? Deep down, they must have a sense of decency, justice, goodness, and equality, because this approach has worked time and time again. They agree to separate from the client and to call on all others of their kind interfering with other humans at this time. They agree to leave together, and another horde of invaders is sent packing. Dual identity ?human/alien A few attached ETs claim to be hiding, lost, abandoned or retired. 104 They either came here to escape punishment for some crime or error, or just veered off course during a voyage and found Earth by sheer chance. Some have been left behind by their commander as punishment for some infraction aboard the ship. Others describe Earth as a retirement home. In a few cases, the alien is no longer with its own body, having made the transition which parallels human death. Like many earthbound spirits who don't know they are dead, the ET does not know it has died. Many of the aliens acknowledge the intrusion, but claim they have nowhere else to go. Some claim to be from a homeworld which no longer exists, having been incinerated or destroyed by some force. These planets were either annihilated by natural events, or by the insanity of war. These are not past life memories of the client recalling an alien existence, but concurrent experiences. Present life of human and present experience of ET. The ET can't describe the homeworld and what happened to it. The journey here, we can't seem to get a clear picture of the technology of propulsion, mechanism of translation, or mode of travel, the arrival on planet Earth, and the process of locating and attaching to the client. This sort of ET attachment may at first appear as a dual identity, a human/alien blending. 105 The person may have the entire memory of the current human lifetime, and also the experience of being an alien with knowledge of its own people, memory of the homeworld, The spacecraft inked its recent activities aboard. 106 in cases of suspected dual identity. The attached et can be discovered and identified with specific questions by the therapist. In some cases, the human and the et have developed a friendly, even loving interaction. This may be the true nature of the connection. However, we have seen that the aliens can induce feelings of love and comfort in the human abductee or contactee. 107 in many more cases that we have seen in clinical practice. The 876 close encounters of the possession kind care not one whit for the welfare of the human. They have a purpose and they diligently pursue that purpose, manipulating the human host to serve that purpose. The attached alien assumes the host's body as its own body. At least it has assumed ownership and control. It simply ignores the human spirit and denies any notion of invasion or interference. After all, the ET considers itself superior to these humans. Much as on Earth, the superior species has no concern over what is done to the inferior. Specific questions uncover the connection between an attached entity and host, in this case the alien and the human, and exposes the illusion of dual identity. Drive. B. Recall the experience of joining this body. Pause. Is there already someone there? Is the rightful spirit already in the body? The answer is always a surprised yes. If it were actually the rightful spirit speaking, this question would be meaningless. The attached being, whatever type, is clear at this point that it is the intruder. Drive. B. How old was this person when you joined them? The answer is given as an age in years, usually very young, often at the time of birth. Drive. B. Where were you before you joined this person? The true contracted spirit was in the golden white light prior to conception and gestation. An attached et describes being on the craft or the mothership, or in a place of different colored light. Drive. B. Who sent you here? Who assigned you to this body? The commandant of the mothership, knowledgeable about human customs and behaviors, assigned the et to the human host, usually at the time of birth, knowing this would be the least conspicuous intrusion. From another perspective, this might be considered a compassionate, even heroic act by the commandant, in an attempt to help his people survive a desperate situation by using living humans as receptacles for et consciousness. From the viewpoint of the human host, it is nothing but an attempted possession by a non-physical consciousness, an alien being. This is a violation, and something can and must be done to terminate the invasion. Most people are not aware of such attachments since any effects or outward signs would be present from birth. Family members would consider any unusual behavior as normal for the person for the same reason. Only in an altered state therapy session would such an attached entity be discovered. It is often quite a surprise for the client to discover the presence of an alien being cohabiting within their physical body and subconscious mind in such a connection. As with any other attaching entity, the conscious thoughts and memories of the et and human seem to merge at the time of attachment. Thus the human may have knowledge and memory of the craft, the alien race, and their homeworld. He or she also has the normal memories of a human growing up in this culture. Having been so closely intertwined for an entire lifetime, the human often feels emotionally connected, even dependent on the attached alien. For the client it is sometimes a 77-savvy difficult and wrenching decision to finally release the attached et. In her book, Encounters, psychologist Edith Fior, Ph.D., describes a case of an attachment by an et. 108 Her client, a man in his mid-40s, was a little boy at the time of the attachment, walking along a dirt road in Washington State. The non-physical alien swooped down toward Earth, discovered the boy, and simply came into the back of his head. The boy was unaware of the intrusion. It seems the alien came to Earth, as had many others of its kind, as a retirement sanctuary. He randomly chose this boy as his resting place, his nest. In altered state, the client described his own life and his own memories, before and after the time of the attachment. He also described, in first person as if he were actually there, the interior of the alien's craft, a well-armed battle cruiser, their voyages and battle engagements, and his eventual retirement from active duty. This was not a case of dual identity, it was another separate, individual consciousness which had attached to the subconscious mind and body of this child. The alien expressed his longing to return to duty with his old crew. The narrative of his adventures was a shocking revelation. It seems the alien group would discover a planet they wanted, then make a drop, on a major inhabited area. This meant inflicting total devastation on a city or primary population center. They would then contact the leaders or rulers and declare they were taking over the planet. Any objections? If there was any resistance, the aliens would launch another drop. End of objections. No more resistance. Take over the planet. In the popular movie, Independence Day, a similar plot unfolded. The superweapon aboard the alien craft laid waste to vast areas of several major cities and other locations. World military strength was decimated. Through the swift thinking and brave efforts of a few good people, the aliens were destroyed and the Earth was saved. Certainly this is one way to unite the peoples of Earth, a common enemy. Even former President Reagan suggested this in a speech during his second term. Though stories of alien life are fascinating, we aren't primarily focused on the circumstances of the aliens, or details of the ship. We are intent on releasing these intruders from their host. These things are not fun, and they can wreak havoc in a human life. In several cases, we discovered that the AT could take control of the consciousness to the point that the client's voice produced unintelligible sounds. Obviously, this was some kind of language, with inflections, repeated sound patterns and recognizable pauses and shifts for sentence structure or questions, but it sounded like total gibberish to the human ear. In the process of any releasement therapy, there must be meaningful conversation between the therapist and the attached entity. In a few cases, the alien did not leave. In one such case, the family of the client had actually grown fond of the being who was cohabiting in their daughter's body, and had actually learned the meaning of some of its phrases. With that kind of permission and acceptance, there was no way we could convince it to leave. For those few aliens who seemed to have no connection with a nearby craft or 78 close encounters of the possession kind crew, but are genuinely lost or marooned, or deceased, we call on the rescue spirits of light from the color, light universe, using the color they have described to us. It works. The attached AT recognizes and describes the colorful beings who come to help it on the journey home. As they leave, they are offered one last chance to speak their farewells to the host they are leaving. It is usually an apology for the intrusion, the confusion, and a sincere thank you for the assistance in finding their way home. In his book, Abductions, Drive, John Mack describes several cases of dual identity, that is, a blended human/alien consciousness in which a client has her/his own memories and yet can't describe the interior of the craft, the meaning and purpose of the mission and details of alien life. Mack interprets this phenomenon as a higher level of consciousness becoming known to a lower, human, aspect. Some clients have a feeling of being a bridge between the two realms, human and alien. The therapist with a broad awareness of the spiritual reality and a working knowledge of the concepts of SRT would suggest a different explanation. This is not dual identity, but attachment and attempted possession of living humans by alien beings. Unfortunately, this situation is quite common. Perhaps there is a higher purpose in the forcible abductions and the trauma that many abductees experience. Though several of Drive, Mack's clients claim to have been elevated spiritually by the experience, most people who endure the involuntary seizure, experimentation, and sexual violation would not agree. 109 Some experiencers have indeed enjoyed a personal expansion and what might be called spiritual transformation following alien abduction, though it typically takes many months for this awareness to develop. 110 Some of Drive, Mack's clients feel they have eventually benefited from the traumatic experience. However, for the vast majority of people who have recalled and reported their abduction experience, there is resentment, fear of the return of the aliens, and the feeling of repugnance at having been so violated. When our clients discover a resident alien, regardless of any stated purpose for it being here, whether as a colonist whose world no longer exists, as a scientist gathering data, or as a conqueror attempting to take over humanity person by person, the reaction is to get rid of the intruder. This is a parasitic condition, which always exacts a mental or physical toll from the host, and the parasite has no right to be here. A human has the sovereign right to be free, to determine what will happen to the body and mind. In this life, however, there are many who would violate that right, ranging from humans in political power, to microscopic organisms which cause disease, to non-physical beings who would use the energy of the unsuspecting host. Fortunately, There are techniques for getting rid of most of these freeloading parasites, and methods for regaining personal freedom. 79 Save E.C. Happy R8 The alien scientists after the discovery and identification of an attached HET. The specific details of its presence can be determined. Those who claim to be gathering data or experimenting with the host are classified as the scientists, researchers, or technicians. They are usually very focused on their task, and give only cursory replies to our initial discovery questions. Then they turn their attention away from us. Questions which challenge the research project, cast doubt on the information gathering efforts, or insult the technician and its superiors, will usually provoke this entity into responding. They usually have a large ego attachment to their projects. Drive. B. How much data do you need? How long are you going to stay here? How long have you been here gathering information? Aren't you aware of the spiritual principle of non-interference with a sentient species? Aren't you aware of the experimenter effect? Here, you are sitting in the experimental subject. You are affecting the results. Your entire research project is flawed. Your data is meaningless. Your group has expended resources fruitlessly. Your findings are a joke. What will your peer review committee say about this faulty design and the wasted effort? Where is your science officer? Who is the one in charge of this farce? They usually are not aware of an endpoint in the experiment. They have diligently continued the investigation, often through several lifetimes of the host human. It becomes obvious that the attached at researchers are technicians with no authority and no need to know anything more than their specific job. I continue to pepper them with any questions that occur to me. I remind them of the scientific method of Earth scientists in the peer review committee. Challenge them with the idea of who's going to publish first. Better stop working and hurry home. And anything else that pops into my mind to say. The ET technician will usually react to these questions and will answer defiantly, defending the project. In very few cases, instead of defiance, the ET might agree with this lab rat, who is questioning the white coat. These thoughts may have never occurred to this diligent, and often bored, technician. The entire project is suddenly seen as a useless, meaningless expenditure of time, energy and resources. They are usually eager to end this barren effort. At this point, the technician is ready to exit. Removal of one attached at is an exercise in futility. This would accomplish little or nothing for the host, as it would be replaced immediately. Through the consciousness and voice of the client, the focus of the dialogue shifts to the command hierarchy, beginning with those in charge of the nearby spacecraft. There may be many such technicians and research teams, based on the same ship. Survey any close encounters of the possession kind ING or gathering information from thousands of living humans in the same intrusive way. In this process, we always seek to connect with the highest ranking leader, the commander-in-chief, the space commander, crew leader, or the science officer can be summoned, and he will respond. This always surprises me. Why do they bother to answer my questions? Lines of communication seem to exist between all members of this alien bureaucracy. As they speak, the client can repeat their words in our language. They may reveal that they are under orders and are part of a fleet of several such craft on similar missions around the Earth. They can cross-connect with the Deep Space Station, base headquarters on the homeworld, or the ruling body, whether it is a military cabal or civilian council. The client can repeat the words of the alien leaders as they respond. In an altered state, this kind of channeling is easily accomplished. In a small number of these cases, the base commander has acknowledged the intrusion and has agreed to remove the technicians, the equipment, probes, communication devices, any implants, and whatever invasive mechanisms have been placed. They sometimes claim that they were just doing research, much like Earth scientists, and did not realize that humans would be aware of the intrusion or object to the project. They give the appearance of compassion and quickly cooperate with the request to disengage. We request that the technician remove all equipment, appliances, implanted devices, wiring, and any remnants of the experimentation or residue of its own presence from the research subject, that is, our client. They seem eager to do this and offer an apology for the interference, often a request for forgiveness, and a hearty thank you for the new awareness regarding their fruitless research efforts. They are sent home with a firm farewell. The client can feel the lifting of the weight of the presence, and is very aware of the absence. The feeling of more room inside for their own soul essence. It is a tremendous relief. An outside observer of such a session might judge this sort of interaction as highly bizarre, even pure fantasy. However, once we get past the initial disbelief and amazement at the course of the dialogue between humans in a therapy session and extraterrestrial aliens in another dimension who are studying human life on Earth, this process becomes a fascinating study of consciousness. The dark side of vet research is our human scientists probe and dissect animals to learn the secrets of life on Earth. So also do some of the extraterrestrial scientists claim to be conducting experiments with human beings. They have implanted physical and non-physical probes and various types of communicating and monitoring devices into humans for the purpose of gathering information, and more. Through some of these implanted devices, the aliens seem to be able to control the emotions. Other devices control appetites for food or alcohol or sexual activity. In some cases, the anger function is turned up. In others, fear is intense. 81 Saviift. Then the experimenters observe what happens to human behavior and personal interactions. They seem to be able to interfere with or control any aspect of mind or part of the physical body. Mona and the ed controllers. Mona expressed dismay at her unusually high sexual appetite and her promiscuity. This condition had existed in her life since late adolescence. She had difficulty maintaining monogamous relationships and this caused her deep sadness and confusion. In session, she discovered a net group experimenting with her sexuality. The ET researchers would intensify her sexual desire, like turning up the volume on a TV set, then observe her behavior and her reactions to her own behavior. We discovered a large network of DFEs of various levels controlling the ETs in this activity. This particular experimentation involved a broad segment of the human population, and Mona was just one of many people affected. The ET technicians divulged this information, and further revealed a sordid picture of the intrusion. Some of the DFE-influenced ETs had become personally involved in human sexuality, purposely stimulating licentious and depraved sexual activities. Not only were they distorted in their scientific observation, they were participating in the experiments. Mona was sickened by the discovery of this information. She had known something was very wrong in her life and suspected entity influence, but had not dreamed of this kind of extensive involvement, particularly the ETs. She was deeply relieved to finally get relief from this terribly intrusive and very personal violation. Human beings are so terribly caught up in sexual issues from childhood through adolescence and into adulthood, even old age as senility sets in. The entire issue is compounded by the social issues regarding sex, marriage, monogamy, adultery, promiscuity, the religious taboos and imposed guilt, the very real problems of unwanted pregnancy and abortion, disease, human possessiveness and jealousy, and other issues. It is a fertile field for dark force entity interference. These experiments on emotions and sexuality are ostensibly designed to study human feelings and behavior. The technician simply turns up the volume on some aspect of emotion or behavior and records what happens with the human subject. This behavior or emotional outburst causes anguish in the human. This is the desired result. This anguish is the underlying goal of the project. The energy emanation of the anguish of human suffering is harvested by the DFEs. It is used as energy, sustenance, food. 111 In most such cases we have found, and other therapists report the same situation, it seems the experiment is a cover for the activity of the DFEs. This is the true purpose of the research, conducted by the aliens. In most cases of ET attachment where such a group is operating, the ship captain or the base commander may be evasive, deceitful, even defiant, and refuse to remove the intrusive devices and alien beings. They will usually divulge the ET to close encounters of the possession kind information that there is a high dark being who controls their people. A client will sometimes describe the sinister and menacing dark figure on the craft, clearly exert ing powerful control, and always situated near the ship's captain. The ET technician is usually unaware of the dark influence. The commander of the spacecraft is conscious of the dark presence in about half of such cases. The ruling council members on the homeworld are aware of the dark lords in charge at various levels. They acknowledge that they, or their predecessors in the council, struck an alliance with the dark forces long ago for the purpose of gaining personal and political power. However, once that dark contract was established, the DFEs took power over the council. The DFEs assumed ownership of the alien civilization, and there was nothing that could be done about it. The council members, usually from 3 to 11 in number, though once it was reported as a senate of about 1,800 members, are grateful for the assistance in separating themselves and their citizens from the DFEs. With the assistance of many light beings, we facilitate the total removal of the dark force entities, from the lowliest DFE attached to the ET technicians, through the dark lords on the craft, to the high-level dark beings wielding power over the council members and the overseers or enforcers who lurk behind the scenes. After the release of the DFEs from their civilization, the council gladly orders the removal of the implants, monitors, communication devices, various and assorted headbands and skullcaps, and the ET technicians. They order the return of all the craft orbiting this world and any other, and the space stations involved in this hideous project. A tremendous piece of work is completed in a very short time. The effect on consciousness cannot be measured. Clients have discovered not only these attached ET technicians and their equipment, but also unattended probes and other devices in various parts of the anatomy and in the chakras, or energy centers of the body, both on themselves and other family members. These probes are non-physical in nature yet connected in a way which allows for transmission of information to the ET scientist's location. The probe, or connector, may also allow the ET to remotely control some aspect of the physiology or mental/emotional functioning of the person. In an altered state, a client can visualize the probe, often a black cord, leading to the ET laboratory. We direct the question to the alien researcher. This communication passes directly to the ETs along the attached connector, and the surprised ET will answer through the voice mechanism of the client. This can be surprising and distressing to the client, but with our assurance that the control is only temporary, and that many people have overcome this intrusion, most clients continue with the dialogue. The DFE tank farm. In one case, a middle-aged woman discovered what appeared to be a conduit attached in the area of the base of her spine. There was no pretense about research. This was an energy pipeline sucking life force from her. As she traced the conduit in her inner imagery, she found it extending far out in space, to another location, a 83 savvy small planet. The workers on that place were slow-thinking, dull-witted beings who attended the collection and storage stations for this life energy, huge tank farms, similar to those of petroleum refineries in our own land. This was their only job. Similar conduits came in from all directions to this storage facility, from countless beings living on many worlds. These workers received a small percentage of the life force energy collected in this way as their compensation from a powerful group of higher beings on another planet who controlled the operation. They didn't seem to be aware of anything else. We called on the leader of the higher beings. He responded, "Yes, his people had arranged this collection and storage network for life force energy. Yes, these workers performed this duty for them. Yes, the DFEs were in charge of his people, and had been for a long time. Yes, the DFEs ordered the placement of this entire life force energy collection system. Yes, the DFEs took the life force energy for their own purposes. Yes, his people were actually slaves to the DFEs. No, there was nothing they could do about it. Yes, they would appreciate any assistance to free themselves. In the name of the light, we demanded to speak to the dark commander in control of this operation." In a few moments, this one responded through the voice of the client. He was surprised and irritated by this interruption. Yes, his dark associates used some of the energy, but mostly it was taken to an even higher level in the dark realm. He knew nothing about that level. We called on the rescue spirits of light to surround this dark commander in a net of light, a mesh of light, a capsule of light, to bind this one in light. We asked the rescue spirits of light to move through the group of dark ones on that planet, binding each of them in light, wherever they were in that moment. We directed the commander to focus within himself. The first deception in the dark realm is that there is no light within the individual being. Once they believe that, they are under total subjugation by their dark superiors. They are controlled by threat of annihilation. The second deception is that they can be annihilated. They can be destroyed. They will cease to exist. The third deception is that the light will harm them, burn them, destroy them. So, of course, they avoid the light. The DFEs are totally controlled by threat and fear through these three deceptions. The commander was astonished when he discovered his own spark of light. His entire focus was on the spark as it expanded. It felt warm. He recalled the light and the warmth from his far memory. He recalled his origin in the light, and he instantly rejected the three controlling deceptions. He made a new choice for the light. This is the transformation of a demon. As he reconsidered the collection and storage project, he realized the terrible invasiveness, the abject violation of the free will of countless God-created beings. He agreed to begin to demolish the system. He also agreed to assist in the gathering and transformation of the legions of DFEs under his command. Through the lines of communication to all his underlings, he summoned them from distant outposts and directed them to focus within as he had done. The rescue spirits of 84 close encounters of the possession kind light gathered them as they came in, each in its own capsule of light. This is a grandly efficient method of releasing the DFEs as compared to going through the process with each individual demon. According to clients in thousands of sessions through the years, it works. As these DFEs rush in, clients describe the scene like a flood of darkness, like a river of lava or thick, black oil, flowing toward the light. Each DFE is encapsulated in light. Each discovers its spark. Each transforms into light. The rescue spirits of light transport them to their own place in the light. This is an awesome visual image to the client in an altered state of consciousness. Checking with the leader of the higher level beings again, we found him and his people in celebration of their restored freedom. They were grateful for the assistance. They had abandoned all aspects of the energy collection project. The equipment was being dismantled. This would free many humans and countless others from this energy drain. We directed the client to examine the area where she had first discovered the conduit. Even after this releasement of multitudes of DFEs, it was still in place. Again following up the conduit, she found the storage planet. One of the dull-witted ones had emerged with some original thinking of his own. He saw this project as a pretty good deal, even considered some potential commercial possibilities here. This one was not so dull-witted. He was now thinking as a businessman, and he had red eyes. This clearly indicated the direction we needed to follow in the session. In the imagery of the client, red eyes on any human being, et, animal, or black blob, indicates DFE energy. When the transformed dark commander on the other planet began summoning his troops, this would-be entrepreneur had stepped forward and severed connections, both the communication lines and the pipelines to that place. He decided to keep the life force energy collection system for himself and his own people. Of course, other DFEs were directing his thinking and trying to cut their losses. We again called, in the name of the light, to the one in charge of this group. The breakaway dark commander came forward grudgingly, and divulged his rebellion against his commander's summons. The rescue spirits of light again did their job. The DFEs went through the transformation, and the dull-witted ones agreed to dismantle their part of the system. The conduit disappeared from the base of the spine of the client. She felt the relief, though she had not been aware of the intrusive device nor the energy drain prior to the session. She had only known that something was not right. After attending a lecture on SRT, she felt the inner urging to explore with us in a private session. She was amazed at what she discovered, and delighted at the results. Harvesting energy in another case, a woman wanted to explore past life therapy. There was no specific problem area. She just wanted to experience the work. She only knew we did regression therapy. We explained that it is the inner knowing self that directs the session, and we don't lead a client into past lives. She was willing to explore 85 Savi whatever emerged. As she scanned her body, she discovered a disruption of energy in her abdomen, the solar plexus area. It seemed to be tight, and she felt a little nauseous. Drive. B. If the tight feeling could speak, what would it say, right now? C. What do you want? Drive. B. What are you doing here? C. Taking her energy. Very straightforward. No subterfuge. No cover story. Drive. B. Have you ever been human in your own physical body? C. No. Drive. B. What color is the light in your universe? C. Orange. Drive. B. What do you do with the energy? C. Send it up to the big dark ones. There was no craft. There was no home planet. No subjugated at civilization. No intermediaries. These were energy-draining DFEs who just hung out in an orange light place. We have found that the red, orange, black, and sometimes dark purple light locations seem to be domains of the DFEs. This band of intruders was simply sucking energy from this woman and many other humans. The DFEs responded to the process of transformation and were released. We continued the session with soul fragmentation recovery. Her essence had been slowly drained away. Most of this was recovered and reintegrated. The woman felt weary yet peaceful and somehow more complete. The late Robert Monroe, a former corporate executive, was a pioneer in describing and publishing personal experience and research in the out-of-body experience, the OOB. Two, he details his battles with entities he called demons. In some of his out-of-body excursions, he realizes there are entities riding him like a child playfully rides horseback astride the back of an adult. He describes one OOB in which he was manning an ancient pumping station with huge pipes transporting something of much higher energy than oil, valuable and vitally needed elsewhere. Is this life force energy siphoned from humans transported to other places for use by opportunistic beings? We have found many such cases in clinical practice. The vampires, the DFEs, believe they have no spark of light at their center. This is the first deception in the dark realm. They believe they do not have their own source of energy. No light, no energy, no sustenance. They have to steal energy from the best source on the planet. Unsuspecting human beings, their superiors believe the same thing. Their job is to squelch the light in the target humans and reap as much of the host's energy as possible for transport to the higher realms of darkness. They are literally stealing life force or soul energy from the host. This leads to all sorts of human ailments and symptoms of illness. This is not new in human history. In indigenous cultures, the healer is called the shaman. In shamanic literature, 86 close encounters of the possession kind illness is thought to be caused by soul loss. 113 soul theft often occurs because one person assumes power over another person. The survivor of sexual abuse often describes feeling as if the perpetrator, father, stepfather, grandfather, uncle, has stolen her soul. In every case involving sexual abuse that we have seen in clinical practice, there are DFEs involved. Soul theft may be the result of a curse, hex, or spell cast by witch, black magician, or sorcerer. Black magic always involves the DFEs. This type of curse and soul fragmentation is sometimes discovered in past lives, and the curse may still be affecting the client in the present life. Many women report love affairs with men who were possessive, even violent. These affairs often end with bitterness. In some cases, the men have vowed to keep the women under their control and to possess their heart or soul. In sessions with these women, when we can explore these men remotely, they are found to be partially or totally controlled by DFEs. Vampirism is a cultural myth that predates Christianity. It concerns the extraction of blood or life force from living people without killing them. The creature of the myth has taken many forms. Demons. The incubus and succubus. Handsome men. Beautiful women, both of which are shapeshifters. Black magicians. Night flying astral bloodsuckers. Spirits of the undead and others. Four DFEs are integral to this kind of activity. At the time of a disaster such as an earthquake, volcano, war, or plane crash resulting in death, the DFEs attempt to seize as many of the confused souls as they can. People who die with the emotion of guilt are susceptible to the DFEs. In the movie Ghost, the two bad guys died and were immediately snatched away by dark entities. Mind fragments of living people can be captured by the DFEs. These are the activities of the DFEs, undermining the power of love, chaos and destruction in human lives, control and power over others. Soul theft, sucking life force, snatching souls and mind fragments during traumatic and confusing events. This holds true on this planet as well as other worlds, other realms, other planes and dimensions. In human interaction, the DFEs attempt to cause as much chaos and destruction, disruption and strife between people as they can. Individually, this shows up as low self-esteem. In loving relationships between two people, this interference can lead to upset, separation and divorce, even domestic violence and murder. Soul groups of people come back lifetime after lifetime to be together in healing and loving interactions. 115 Love is the healing energy in this world and beyond. The DFEs attempt to interfere with the healing power of light slash love wherever and whenever they can. They claim that it's just their job. 87 Sev1CHPTER9 bargaining with the forces of darkness, the pact with the devil, the covenant with Satan, joining in league with Lucifer. This is the stuff of horror movies and gothic novels of torture set in medieval castles. Echoes of Drive, Faust, the very mention of the Inquisition, nightmare that it was, calls forth scenes of wild accusations of witches and charges of trafficking with the devil and the terrible torture that was meted out, burning at the stake, death on the rack, and other inhuman torture led many a poor wretch to call on the forces of darkness for vengeance. At these grotesquely pivotal moments in the existence of a being, personal spiritual evolution took a backward step as the choice was made for the darkness. 116 All through the history of armed conflict, warriors have called on the dark forces as they charged into battle. Prayer to God does no good at that moment, they say. God does not assist one soldier in killing another. Spirits of the battlefield dead may remain earthbound for centuries, held captive by the DFEs who came in at the moment of the fear-based request. The DFEs cannot grant protection against mortal wounds. Soldiers who strike such a last-minute bargain with the dark forces enjoy a feeling of invulnerability. They are unpleasantly surprised at their ensuing death and subsequent bondage to the darkness. Countless humans have struck bargains with the devil, in this life or another, for myriad self-serving purposes, and for the health or safety of loved ones. In some cases, the bargains are purposely made. In others, the connection is made inadvertently by accepting an invitation, veiled or overt, from the Dark Ones. The Dark One does not bargain in good faith. There is no time limit specified. The human thinks only in terms of this lifetime. The Dark One thinks in terms of eternity but does not declare this fact. Once these contracts are established, DFEs are assigned, the person is under the control of the dark forces for a long, long time. This becomes a terrible dark bondage. In many instances, the agreement is a conscious acting deliberately sought. The most serious summoning of Satan is for the express purpose of creating a formal pact. The pact usually guarantees some earthly gain, such as personal or political power, secret knowledge and psychic ability, material wealth, or securing the favors of a desirable woman or man. The Dark One delights in offering such transient rewards in return for the eternal soul of the bargainer. 117 Following the death of the victim of such a contract, the hapless spirit can go through the cycle of the light and incarnate again, and the contract is reactivated immediately at birth. DFEs are reassigned. This captive human being continues the perverse work of the darkness through his slash her own physical body, in bondage to, and totally controlled by, the dark forces lifetime after lifetime. Just as often, the newly deceased spirit remains served-bound, with a nested, 88 close encounters of the possession kind controlling DFE, and continues to serve the Dark Ones, often by attaching to another human. When it is discovered in a session, this ab acts like a DFE, both in its reaction to the discovery questions, and the disclosure of its purpose. Yet it claims to have been alive in its own human body. These EVs are usually assigned as lower or middle level commanders. They aren't the lowly growlers, hissers, or snarlers. In session, I suggest to the client who has formed such a pact, in this life or another, or with an attached entity who succumbed to the temptation, drive. B. Recall the moment when you chose for the darkness. This poor soul will immediately recall the fateful moment, as a warrior going into battle, as a witch being burned at the stake, 118 as a politician coveting more power, or some other equally crucial choice point. As they begin to remember their experience since that moment, they are more than willing, they are eager to end the bondage, to clear their mind of the distortion, and renounce the nefarious pact. We lead them in pronouncing the renunciation of the darkness, a phrase at a time. The entity is making the pronouncement, through the voice mechanism of the client. Drive. B. Repeat these words. Make them your own. It does you no good for me to say them for you. You must repeat them as your own. The therapist must be sensitive to the religious views of the client. For those who do not object to the name of Jesus Christ, the holy name is used. For those who are sensitive for any reason, the term light is substituted. In the name of the light, may God rebuke you, darkness. The entity/client repeats this sentence in each of the following. I renounce all activities of the darkness. I revoke all contracts and agreements, invitations and invocations, rituals and initiations with the darkness, throughout eternity, for as long as my soul exists. For in the name of the light, it is so. The entity/client repeats. After 20 or 30 seconds of silence, I ask softly, Drive. B. How does that feel? There is normally a deep feeling of relief, both for the attached entity and for the client. When a person is infested with a DFE, there is a possibility that there has been some invitation or acceptance in this or some past time. The pronouncement thus serves double duty. The attached entity with nested DFE and the client are both released from their respective agreements with the darkness. The dark ones can then be released more readily from the client, and from the confused and misguided earthbound spirit. The same pronouncement is used with any client who recalls a past lifetime when they interacted with the dark forces in any way. Whether they were involved in sorcery, black magic, witchcraft, dark brotherhood or priesthood, or satanic cult activity of any kind, the dark force energy distorts the thinking just enough that the person actually believes that what he or she is doing is just exactly what he or she wants to be 89 savvy doing. Without some intervention such as SRT, this behavior would continue unabated, even for lifetimes, the confused thinking well entrenched. A formal and binding relationship with God calls for belief in God, devotion to duty and service to mankind. These are the monastic and religious vows. God does not want anything else for himself, only what is in the best interest for the human. A pact with the devil is quite different in essence and form. The devil demands something for himself while giving precious little to the human who calls for the pact. God covenants with people or with mankind. 119. The devil contracts specifically with individual persons. Traditionally, the pact with the devil is signed in blood by the human and kept by the devil. Similar pacts and bargains have apparently been struck between the leaders of alien civilizations and the forces of darkness. These malevolent bargains inflict terrible oppression on the alien citizens and often have damaging and far-reaching consequences for planet Earth and her human inhabitants. The dark reptilian Charles was a practicing hypnotherapist. He also had strong psychic abilities. He volunteered for a demonstration in an SRT training class. Unless something has already surfaced or been discovered with a person, we do not specify a subject nor a particular direction in these demo sessions. The volunteer is instructed to scan his/her body for any emotional feeling or physical sensation. There is always something. We proceed with the discovery questions. If it had a size or shape, what would that be? If it had a color, what would it be? If it had a sound, what would it sound like? If it had words, what would they be? If it could speak, what would it be saying? Right now, there is a pause after each question to allow for any response. If there is an entity, it is usually aroused by these questions and it will most certainly have something to say to us by the time the last question is posed. The earthbound spirit will be frightened and confused, or belligerent and defensive. The DFE will be hostile, defiant, and arrogant. The ET will be surprised that we are bothering it when it is either gathering data of a scientific nature, collecting energy for its controllers, or here to take over. It usually challenges our right to disturb its activities or question its right to be present. Through the discovery questions, the one with Charles was identified as an ET with DFE influence. Once again, we connected with the ruling council, the leaders of this alien civilization. They acknowledged the erstwhile connection with the dark forces. They welcomed our assistance. I had an intuitive flash that the High Dark Commander was not in the council chambers with the others. My questions were directed at the council leader. Drive. B. Look around in your chambers. Is he there? Perhaps in an anteroom, somewhere behind the scenes, in an adjoining room. Is he behind the walls, hidden from your view? 90. Close encounters of the possession kind. Charles' perception shifted to a room close to the council chambers and he described the dark controller. At first it appeared to Charles as a large reptilian figure, standing upright, surprised at being detected. This type is often described in the UFO literature. The reptoids have a bad reputation. I called on the rescue spirits of light to surround this reptilian being in the capsule of light. I demanded, in the name of the light, that it show its true form. It immediately shape-shifted into a dark blob. This had been a deceptive disguise. The High Dark Commander had adopted the figure of the ill-reputed reptilian. It quickly went through its transformation and chose the light for itself. It began to assist by calling in its underlings, the entire group of DFEs which had been infesting this group of aliens. They were taken into the appropriate place in the light, and another alien civilization was freed from their dark bondage. There are planets and perhaps universes where the light of the universal mind, or Christ consciousness as it is often termed, has not yet penetrated. The Lucifer energy arrived there first and is revered as God in some of these locations. When we discover them, the Dark Ones are treated with the standard SRT prostars and transported to the light. The kingdom of heaven is within you, and whosoever knoweth himself shall find it. 120. At the core of every God-created being is a spark of light, a spark of the God consciousness. Denial and defiance of this spiritual heritage is a denial and defiance of God. At the innermost core, each being knows the truth of its identity. This cannot be denied. It is the way home, the path to rejoining God, the Creator Source. 91. Sevwan Chapniar 10 Spirit Releasement Therapy and the DFES Exorcism. The Catholic Exorcism Procedure, the Roman ritual, has a long history of development, and finally reached its present format in the 17th century. It is still used by priests of the Catholic Church in cases of solemn exorcism. Between 1970 and 1980, there were more than 600 solemn exorcisms performed in the United States alone. 121. It is still a viable procedure in the church, though rarely publicized. Basically, the interaction between the possessing demon and the priest exorcist is adversarial. The demon is cast out in the name of Jesus Christ, without a specified destination. The procedure offers no love, no compassion, no concern whatsoever for the entity, as though the fallen angel were not a God-created being. This form of exorcism is irresponsible with regard to the treatment and disposal of the entity. The demon can return to the same person, it can find another unwitting victim, or it can attach to the priest exorcist. It is like removing a nail from a flat tire and tossing it out into the street. The person who tossed it, or anyone else driving by, can pick it up in their tire again. Releasement of the demonic entity. The foundation of spirit releasement therapy is the knowledge that all God-created beings contain the Monad, the indestructible, eternal spark of God consciousness. All else is illusory and transitory, part of the duality that constitutes this physical reality which encompasses good and evil, light and dark, right and wrong, and other polarities. The Book of Revelations outlines the beginning of the game, the act of choosing sides, light or darkness. 122. Every spark of God will return, and eventually all will join in the oneness. This includes Lucifer, the ultimate prodigal son, and his legions of demons, the forces of darkness. The process of spirit releasement of the DFEs requires imagination, visual imagery, and acceptance of certain spiritual figures. This is not a religious exercise and does not require adherence to any religious belief or practice. This is explained to the client before a session begins. Certain names may be used in the session, and specific beings may be called upon for help, such as Archangel Michael and the Christ consciousness. 123. Once the attached entity is identified as a DFE, the therapist calls on the warrior angels of light to form a bastion of light entirely around the location of the session, the homes of all concerned, all friends, family, and loved ones involved. These powerful beings of light stand against any darkness that would interfere in the work of the session. The therapist requests the rescue spirits of light to bind the DFE in a net of light, a mesh of light, a capsule of light, impervious, impenetrable, and inescapable. 92. Close encounters of the possession kind. As the capsule of light squeezes, the Dark One begins to feel the pressure and its edges begin to fade. The beings of light who assist in this process may be archetypal or totally imaginary. They may be absolutely real, spiritually evolved, conscious beings existing in a non-physical reality, a different vibration or dimension than the earth level. Perhaps they dwell in the imaginal realm where eats exist, along with angels and many other conscious beings. 124. The true dark force entities have not been human, so they have no experience of dying, though they may have a sense of the concept due to contact with human minds. As their edges become fuzzy, gray, or ragged, they often fear annihilation. They think fading means disappearing, ceasing to exist, The following is a typical dialogue between the therapist and a DFE attached to the client, speaking through the client's voice. Drive. B. What did your superiors tell you the light would feel like if it came this close to you? DFE. They said it would burn. Drive. B. Is it burning? DFE. No. Drive. B. Did they lie to you? DFE. Yes, they said it would burn. Drive. B. That's the third deception. That the light is harmful in any way. What did they say would happen to you if the light came close like this? DFE. They told me I would be destroyed. I would disappear. I would cease to exist. Drive. B. That's the second deception. That you can be destroyed. That you can cease to be. Are you being destroyed? Are you disappearing? DFE. No. Well, something's changing. My edges are fading. There is very little belligerence at this point. The DFE's focus has been turned from its assignment with the client and its defiance and threats towards the therapist to fear for its own survival. With guidance and the assistance of the therapist, it begins to understand that it has been deceived. Drive. B. What did your superiors tell you about what's inside you? DFE. There is nothing there except darkness, or hatred, or fire. Drive. B. Turn and look deep inside yourself. Begin to focus deep inside. Tunnel to your center. To the very center of your being. To the very core of your essence. What do you find? DFE. Nothing. It's just dark. Drive. B. That is the first deception. Keep looking. Through the darkness. Through the layers of black slime. Keep looking. Keep going. Right into your center. What do you see there? Look carefully. DFE. There is some light. Just a little pinpoint of light. The light inside has been described as a pinpoint, a flicker, a spark, a candle, a little flame, a red coal, a pearl, a diamond, a star, a ruby, a crystal, an emerald, a fire, a sun, and other similar images. 93 Savvy Drive. B. What happens to that little light as you continue to watch it? DFE. It's glowing brighter. It's getting bigger. This nearly always happens with this type of entity after they discover their own spark of light. Drive. B. Move closer to it. How does it feel? Does it burn? DFE. No, it doesn't burn. It feels warm. Drive. B. How long since you felt warm? DFE. I can't remember. Drive. B. Step into it. It is your own light. It is the center of your being. This is what you are. Step right into it. Stand tall in your own light. How does that feel? As the dark being steps into its own light, the darkness disappears. DFE. It's warm and peaceful. Drive. B. How long since you felt warm and peaceful? DFE. I don't remember. Drive. B. What has happened to your dark form? The darkness we first saw. DFE. It's gone. This is the transformation of a demon. And the dialogue nearly always follows this pattern. It is a straightforward therapeutic process. Drive. B. They deceived you. They told you there was no light at your center. That is the first deception. It is the denial of God, a deception of the first magnitude. This pinpoint of light is the spark of God consciousness. It is the spark of the center of your being which gives you eternal life. No one can take it from you. The dark masters can neither give you life nor can they destroy it. Once you believe the first deception, that there is no light at your center, you will believe the second deception, that you can cease to be, that you can be destroyed. After that you will believe anything. They tell you the light is harmful, that it will burn, and you must stay away from it. If you believe this third deception and obey this command, you will never learn about the light. How does it feel to know they deceived you from the beginning? DFE. I don't like it. I'm angry. They lied to me. Drive. B. Would you continue to serve these masters who deceived you like this? DFE. No. Since they rebelled and left the God Source, the Dark Force entities, the minions of Lucifer, the legions of demons, have been controlled by these three deceptions, the fear of punishment, and the threat of annihilation. With this brief intervention, the DFEs discover within themselves the truth of their being, the seed of personal transformation, the key to freedom. Drive. B. Would you like to make a new choice? Would you choose for the light this day? They almost always say yes. They like the feeling of the light within themselves. They aren't stupid, just ignorant about the light. Drive.
B.
Say the words, I choose for the light.
DFE.
I choose for the light. 94 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind Drive.
B.
We witness your choice and the universe recognizes your choice. You are free. Transform
DFE.
Thank you. Drive.
B.
You're welcome. Rescue spirits of light. Lift this one to its own appointed place in the light. We send you to your own place in the light, little friend, and we say farewell. This process does not seem like an exorcism of a demon, yet it is very effective with all levels of DFEs we have encountered. The approach is not the adversarial position of a priest or deliverance minister, with rancor and animosity toward this foul thing, but from a compassionate stance of tough love for a God-created being who went astray. Long ago this spirit made a serious error and chose the dark path. It caused untold misery to countless beings along that path. It has also suffered its own pain in the darkness. There is a great deal more involved in the process than this brief description would suggest, yet this is the final outcome in nearly every case. 125 Some critics have condemned this process because they believed the darkness would or could contaminate the light, could diminish heaven. What a limited and demeaning view of the power of the light. The transformed DFEs are taken to their own appointed place in the light, not the same destination where human spirits go after physical death. In any case, the darkness is a covering illusion, much like a child's Halloween costume, and it disappears as the little being discovers its own light, steps into its own light, and becomes the light by choice. No, the light is not contaminated by receiving one of its own creations that has gone astray. When we bring the darkness to the light, it is the dark that is transformed, not the light that is changed. The question arises about the reality of demons and demonic possession. In an orderly universe created by God, why would he allow such beings to exist? Why would he allow his human creations to be so plagued by them? Why is such chaos allowed in the world? Some people have speculated that this is his way of giving humans an incentive to strive for something better. The dark ones act like starting blocks for a runner, something to give the impetus for forward movement, something to push against. In the act of creation, he gave his created beings, expanding and extending from the all that is, the individual sparks of consciousness, the power of free will. This is the greatest of his gifts. As great as this gift is, there must be something equally significant to choose between for this power of free will choice to be meaningful. There must be something upon which to exercise the power of choice, something of enormous impact. It may be the choice between light and darkness. This theoretical model of the spiritual realm of dark energies grows out of more than 17 years of clinical experience in working with these beings, expressing through thousands of clients in private sessions. The model works. The hypothesis stands the test of time. Many people have learned these methods and find similar success with the DFEs and see results in their clients. The elements of this model are similar in many ways to the established religious and spiritual literature on the 95 Savi subject. Where we differ is in human experience versus religious dogma. There are evils which are acknowledged by the majority of men and women and almost universally rejected. The archetype of the devil is the nucleus around which these rejected elements gather, and it is from this nucleus that they in turn derive their power. The devil appears in some form in all religions and myths. He is seen as the eternal opponent of all that is good in the world. The devil, or Satan, which means adversary or accuser, or diabolos, in Greek, the slanderer, is, and has always been, very much a part of human consciousness. In materialistic Western culture, even in most churches, the existence of an actual prince of darkness with legions of demons under his command is considered a symbolic, metaphoric, even mythical. Officially, the mental health professions continue to deny anything spiritual, certainly the personification of evil in the form of a devil. In private sessions behind closed doors, however, many licensed professionals are using past life therapy, recovery of soul fragmentation, and spirit releasement therapy with amazing results in producing some remarkable healings. Whether the force of darkness is a figment of imagination, a product of the rantings of zealous prophets, a projection of ego, a creation of the collective unconscious, a God-created adversary, or something else yet unknown, The speculations regarding good and evil will, without a doubt, continue unabated. The process of spirit releasement therapy is distinct from any religious tradition or methodology of exorcism. In clinical practice, there is no need for concern regarding religious conjecture or superstition. Whether it is imagination, archetype, the psychological shadow, collective hallucinations, mass hypnosis, a projection of the beliefs of the therapist, or something else again, the DFEs and their effects exist in some form and have impact in this consensus reality. They correspond to the historic description and classic behavior attributed to demons. They show up in clinical practice, they affect human beings, and the effects can be eliminated with the appropriate techniques, regardless of any religious belief or dogma. The dark force entities are actively involved in our personal and planetary evolution. 96 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. Siha Pter 11 Mind Power, Mind Control. When I first began studying hypnosis for dentistry, I had no idea what new frontiers I was approaching. Hand levitation and glove anesthesia that could be transferred to the mouth in preparation for dental work seemed like miracle stuff. And indeed it is for the many people who have a terrible fear of dentists. However, it only takes a few weekend classes in Hypnodontics 126 to learn just about all there is to know about the subject. This knowledge sparked my curiosity, my interest was kindled, and there was no stopping. I continued to study hypnosis in the farther reaches of the human mind, the subconscious, and the deeper realms of the unconscious. 127 What most intrigued me was the power of the subconscious mind over the functions of the body. With dental hypnosis, a person can control gagging, saliva flow, the swallow reflex, breathing, and, with post-hypnotic suggestion, bleeding, swelling, pain, and rapidity of healing after leaving the office. Experienced meditators can control blood pressure, heart rate, and other autonomic mechanisms. Through self-hypnosis, similar control over the body can be attained. With biofeedback training, a person can control some of these autonomic functions while in a totally conscious state. One of the basic teachings regarding the use of hypnosis is that all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. In the dental chair, and in the psychotherapy setting, the client willingly accepts the suggestions of the facilitator to ease the discomfort of the dental procedures, or to uncover the source of painful emotional conflicts. So there is some validity in the teaching about self-hypnosis in these settings. However, this is one of the great myths of mind science, and those who would control the minds of others know this quite well. Neuro-linguistic programming, NLP, was developed by John Grinder and Richard Bandler. 128 It is essentially the distillation of hypnotic communication techniques of Milton Erickson, M.D., the acknowledged master of clinical hypnotherapy. The methodology of NLP includes embedded verbal commands, body postures, and hand motions which can influence another person without their knowledge. It can be used in the therapy setting, a sales presentation, a court of law, or any interpersonal interaction. Obviously, it can be used for the purpose of mind control. It is no secret that the advertising industry takes advantage of consumers' suggestibility. Most of us are in the thrall of cultural trance. The combination and culmination of the emotional surroundings, mental attitudes and judgments, and social pressures that have enveloped us since conception and birth. This involves the standards and mores of our society, the customs and acceptable social behavior. 97 Savvy Patterns, the recognized and accepted religions, forms of humor, music, and the arts. 129 This also includes the political tone which promotes loyalty and patriotism to a country, even to the extent that soldiers will fight enemy soldiers to the death over arbitrary geographical borders. Also shaped by the cultural hypnosis is the prevailing zeitgeist, the intellectual climate of the times. 130 In the Middle Ages, the prevailing zeitgeist allowed for the existence of spirits and demon possession. The intellectual climate in contemporary civilization endorses no such condition, nor does it countenance the existence of aliens, UFOs, or abduction by the aliens who ride in those UFOs. In the current model of scientific thinking, it can't exist, therefore it doesn't exist. Like species of living things on the planet, science also evolves. The Earth is no longer flat, nor is it the center of the universe. Rocks do fall from the sky. Disease is no longer caused by spirits, except when it is, and the Air Force AC acknowledges some unexplained aerial events, with the possibility that 5 million people may have been contacted or abducted by the aliens, as well as reports from therapists across the country describing successfully treated cases of spirit posses and spirit attachment. There is pressure toward evolution in the zeitgeist to include these experiences. In 1991, the late Carl Sagan made this statement during the commencement address at UCLA: "It is the responsibility of scientists never to suppress knowledge, no matter how awkward that knowledge is, no matter how much it may bother those in power. We are not smart enough to decide which pieces of knowledge are permissible and which are not." In the early days of legitimate research in hypnosis after the gross humbug of mesmerism, 131 several prominent investigators were exploring the possibilities of hypnosis, or induced sleep, as they perceived it. Hypnosis was known to be effective when used directly with a susceptible person. Hypnosis at a distance, or telepathic hypnosis, was also reported. Paris-born Pierre Janet, 1859-1947, founded a new system of dynamic psychiatry which was one of the main sources for Freud, Adler, and Jung. In a paper given at a major professional meeting in 1895, Janet described his experiments with his subject, Leonie. He was able to easily hypnotize the young woman, not only directly in a face-to-face situation, but also from a distance. He could give her mental suggestions that she would carry out exactly. 132 other experimenters repeated this telepathic induction of hypnosis at a distance. In some cases they could influence the subject's behavior in addition to inducing the trance. 133 James Isdale performed more than 300 surgeries and amputations, many on the battlefield, using only hypnosis as anesthesia. This occurred in India before 1850. 134 His mortality rate was less than 5%. Hitler controlled a nation with his rhetoric. So persuasive and hypnotic an orator was he. Control over the subconscious mind can be used for benefit or harm, depending on the intention of the hypnotist. 98 Close encounters of the possession kind. There is no doubt that hypnosis can be used to influence, or control, the susceptible mind. Certain drugs can increase the susceptibility, and this is all that is required to control a group, of any size, of people, rendering them docile, obedient, and loyal. The mind-altering, consciousness-expanding drug LSD was first researched in humans in the early 50s. The CIA was funding research on electromagnetic mind control at least as early as 1960. The notorious MKULTRA project was expanded to include not only hypnosis and psychedelic drugs, but bioelectric sensing methods for surveillance and interrogation, as well as for finding techniques for activating the human organism by remote electronic means. In testimony before the Senate Subcommittee on Health and Scientific Research on September 21, 1977, MKULTRA Director Sidney Gottlieb recalled a running interest in the effects on people standing in the field of radio energy, and whether a person could be more easily hypnotized if he were standing in a radio beam. The 1977 Congressional Record contains a report from the Senate Select Committee to Study Government Operations with Respect to Intelligence Activities, the Church Committee. This report details the history of covert mind control experiments, often performed illegally on unwitting U.S. citizens, conducted by the agencies of the U.S. government, under the code name of Project MKULTRA. Techniques such as psychoactive drugs, hypnosis, bioelectronics, radio hypnotic and transcerebral control, RIC, electronic dissolution of memory, EDM, occult and parapsychological research, radiation, microwaves, and ultrasonics were explored. Several proved to be quite effective. One CIA consultant spoke to the Committee of Electronic Implants used for remote mind control. Another spoke of systematically creating multiple personalities within individuals for intelligence activities. Another spoke of creating false memories as a cover for all the other activities. The Church Committee, of course, said no, no. And the agency, of course, promised to cease and desist. The intelligence agencies, primarily the CIA, conducted human research on thousands of people, often without their knowledge or consent, at least through the 60s. 135 One possible application of such research is the control of enemy populations, both civilian and military. A more insidious application of such technology would be to control the population of our own country. The descriptions of the research in this country present a hideous panorama of man's inhumanity to man. 136 Remote viewing has been developed into a practical, teachable skill, since it was primarily a military project, presumably in conjunction with the intelligence agencies of this country. It is highly likely the skill was developed not only as a spying device, but also as a weapon. In the mental state of consciousness required for remote viewing, the viewer can focus on a target person or location and perceive details of the target. It may be possible for the viewer to influence a target person, even to the point of causing death. In a groundbreaking experiment, Jose Delgado, a neurophysiologist from the Yale University School of Medicine, managed to halt a charging bull only 39.971 feet from his completely vulnerable body. In his hand he held a small black box which transmitted a radio signal to a similar black box which contained a small receiver fastened between the horns of the bull. The signal was transmitted as an electric impulse through a probe inserted into the bull's brain. The bullring was in Madrid, Spain. The year was 1964, and Delgado had been experimenting with electronic stimulation of the brain, ESP, for nearly two decades. 138 Research expanded into stimulation without an implanted receiver, using electromagnetic fields and beamed microwaves. The use of non-lethal weapons includes specific frequencies of microwaves that can stimulate certain areas of the brain which control certain emotions and, through the neurological-physiological interface, bodily functions. Imagine a battalion of infantrymen advancing across a field. The microwaves are beamed at them and each man suddenly has an attack of diarrhea. It would cripple any effort to engage in ground combat. It has been documented that sounds, words, voices, even commands can be beamed into the mind of a person with or without an implanted receiver. There is speculation among authors on mind control that an entire memory sequence of either alien abductions or satanic cult ritual abuse can be implanted telepathically or through electromagnetic projection. These memories could be triggered and replayed, complete with emotion, physical sensation, and the voices of people. 139 Even if such induced hallucinations were possible, it seems incredible that thousands of experiencers could have similar hallucinations of repeated alien abduction yet with unique and personal evidence such as nosebleeds, implants, scars, pregnancy and loss of pregnancy, bedclothes on backwards with bits of leaves and grass stuck to them, and other disturbing physical effects. The next level of this research involves mind reading with computer-translated brainwave patterns. An implanted computer chip would give a person access to computer banks of information, and could be used for direct communication with other persons. The result? Computer-assisted telepathy. This kind of mind reading was the culmination of a CIA goal, part of Operation Artichoke. 140 The behavior control techniques employing drugs, hypnosis, electroshock, and extrasensory perception. Devil worship has probably been going on about as long as any form of devotion to a higher power, or God. From the time of birth, people are trained to give away their power and authority to an outside agency. First it is parents, who control everything in the infant's life. Later come school teachers, police officers, and political leaders as authority figures. Most people are taught about an unseen God who watches every move and will eventually judge every thought and action. Rebellion against authority naturally begins in childhood, aimed at parental control. Civil disobedience indicates a breaking out of the cultural trance with some particular issue such as racial oppression or Vietnam War protest. Defiance and rejection of God as a kingly figure in long robes seated on a throne in heaven can manifest as devil worship, or Satanism, the organized form of such activity. Sexual abuse of children is part of the rituals of Satanism. This can cause a condition of multiple personality disorder, MPD, which has been renamed 100 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind Dissociative Identity Disorder, DID, in the victim. 141 Participation in organized satanic cults often extends through several generations within families, and DID is often seen by therapists as a multi-generational condition. A detailed exploration of Satanism is outside the scope of this volume. 142 According to Bauert and Constantine, the intelligence agencies have been actively involved in cult activity for a long time. 143 The elements of mind control are present. Drugs, hypnosis, pain, as well as dabbling in the supernatural. A cult is a ready source of human subjects, people with dissociation disorders who can be controlled and programmed, possibly as spies or assassins, with the roots of the CIA tracing back to Nazi Germany, by way of the OSS, its predecessor. The obvious question is, which came first, satanic ritual abuse or the CIA? There is no ready answer. There is another element of mind control which is not mentioned in the literature. Even though the intelligence operatives are suspected of involvement with the devil worshippers, I doubt they embrace any notion of actual demons or demon possession. This would be quite an effective instrument of control over others. Curses, hexes, spells, and high black magic are not illusion. Those people who do more than dabble, but plunge headlong onto the dark path, take on the role of the black magicians, and garner for themselves the spiritual, karmic, toll which that practice accrues. One cannot gather the benefits of such power without suffering the adverse consequences. In our clinical practice over the years, we have discovered the presence of the DFEs in every case of child sexual abuse, including satanic cult ritual abuse. Some claimed they joined the child at a young age, others come in at the time of the abuse. There are always several DFEs with the perpetrators involved in this unbelievably hideous and destructive behavior. Given the success of remote spirit releasement in cases of troubled individuals, the technique is used to clear both individuals and groups of perpetrators. With any act of violence, vengeance, aggression, oppression or willful control of another person, there is DFE influence. The cooperation with DFEs may be unwitting and passive, voluntary, occasionally volitional, or by invitation and full conscious agreement. To establish a pact with the devil may be the single most damaging choice a human being can ever make. 101 Save ECHPTER 12 Armageddon or Cosmic Chess. The origins of life remain a paramount mystery. Religious creationists stand by their belief that God created man in his own image about 5,000 years ago. Does that mean that God possessed all the faults and defects which humans display? In Revelations 12, it is told that Archangel Michael cast Lucifer from the heavens, along with a third of the stars of heaven, that is, one third of the God-created beings. They were cast into earth, thenceforth manifesting their hatred of God and Jesus Christ through constant attack on human beings. Is the Battle of Armageddon an ongoing saga, or will there be a final showdown between the forces of good and evil, light versus darkness? Is it going on right now within human consciousness? In our clinical practice, we see an increasing level of activity among the DFEs. They seem to be stepping up the pressure on people. Many therapists who use some form of spirit releasement therapy are reporting similar findings. The activity of the DFE-infested ETs is also increasing. Are these signs of the predicted conflict in the spiritual arena? I have no way of knowing. To interpret the clinical findings as evidence for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Armageddon would be highly speculative and scientifically irresponsible. One scientific hypothesis posits that the building blocks of animal life were formed when high-energy electrical discharges flashed through the primitive atmosphere of Earth. This primordial soup contained ammonia, methane, and water, plus many other assorted elements. In such a random act of nature, amino acids could form which could then join to produce proteins, DNA, and eventually complicated animal life forms all over this world. As the planet evolved, it seems that about 200 million years were available for this process. Scientific opinion is split over the length of time necessary for life to form in this manner. Skeptics suggest this sequence of events is as unlikely as a Boeing 747 aircraft being assembled by a tornado sweeping through a junkyard. The theory that life had an extraterrestrial origin was proposed at the turn of the century by Svante Arrhenius, a Swedish Nobel laureate in chemistry. He coined the term panspermia to express his belief that seeds of life exist everywhere in space and are continually showering on the Earth. A modified version of this theory is advocated by Fred Hoyle, celebrated British astronomer, and his colleague Chandra Wickramasinghe, an astronomer from Sri Lanka. They claim that viruses and bacteria continually arrive on tails of comets and fall to Earth with particles of cometary dust. Some scientists believe that everything from organic chemicals to amino acids may have been carried in by comets, asteroids, and meteorites. Another proposal has been forwarded by Francis Crick, Nobel laureate and co-discoverer of DNA, and Leslie Orgel, a pioneer in probiotic chemistry. They 102 close encounters of the possession kind coined the description directed panspermia, and suggest the first germs of life reached the Earth by a spaceship sent by a distant civilization. Zecharia Sitchin is a scholar and author of the Earth Chronicles, 1* for a series of books on his interpretations of various religious scriptures and ancient texts. He speaks of the Anunnaki, a group of beings who came to planet Earth from their own home planet, Nibiru. The atmosphere of Nibiru was dwindling and they needed gold particles to be suspended in the atmosphere to prevent further loss. They attempted to distill the waters of the Persian Gulf to extract gold, but there was insufficient quantity. They attempted to mine gold from the Earth, but the Anunnaki miners rebelled. In Sitchin's view of Earth history, Enlil was the strict administrator of his peoples here, Enki was the overseer of the mining operation. His solution was to create a primitive worker. Ancient Mesopotamian texts describe the process. The essence of the blood of a young Anunnaki male was mixed with the egg of an Earth-born hominid, perhaps the Neanderthal, and this fertilized egg was placed in the womb of a young Anunnaki female. After much trial and error, the model man was born. Was this the first human/alien hybrid? There is a description of this process in the Book of Genesis which states that humankind was created by Elohim, male and female created he them. 145 William Bramley discovered more than he wanted to know through his research into the origins and causes of war. 146 He described what he termed custodians, beings capable of apparently supernatural feats who have been in control of much of human behavior for a very long time. War among factions weakens all of those involved, and turns attention away from the custodians. Kings and rulers of older times traditionally relied on their own agents provocateur to incite controllable unrest in their kingdoms in order to promote factions in the populace who would blame each other instead of the king's for their misery. 147 There are several theories which postulate that the human race has been genetically engineered or manipulated numbers of times through the millennia in order to produce slaves or perfect workers. There are some obvious gaps in the sequence of evolution which leads to Homo sapiens sapiens. Who were the scientists who conducted this project? Are they continuing to alter the DNA structure of our species through some process of hybridization? Will human beings, as we know ourselves today, be only another extinct species in the ladder of evolution? Is such a program still underway? Is there anything we can do about it? At a 1993 MUFON conference in Richmond, Virginia, Vladimir Turzinski presented his theory that humans have been under the control of a non-human management system for a very long time. If these theories and speculations have any basis in fact, then it would seem that human beings, for all our evolutionary advances, our consciousness that supposedly separates us from lower animals, our great technological achievements, are deluded pawns in a sinister game of cosmic proportion. Retired Air Force Colonel Nelson Pacheco and Tommy Bland produced a well-written book outlining various unusual and unexplained events on the planet. Cattle 103 Sev1 mutilations, crop circles, Marian visions, UFO abductions, and government involvement in such activities. Then in a sweeping assumption, they attribute the cause of all these events to demonic activity. They make no distinction between earthbound spirits of deceased humans, dark force entities, extraterrestrials, spirit guides, ascended beings of light, or events of unknown origin. This is typical of the myopic vision of the religious fundamentalist, filtered by fear and belief systems that do not allow for the existence of anything which is not sanctioned by their particular religious dogma. In clinical practice, we find energies with clients which proclaim themselves as being from the darkness, never calling themselves demons. These DFEs interfere with most human activity, especially anything which could benefit individuals, couples, families, or groups of people. However, they never claim responsibility for the events for which these authors give them credit. As arrogant as the DFEs are when we encounter them, they would certainly lay claim to these accomplishments. Author Martin Cannon offers a new hypothesis of alien abductions. He draws from established psychological information on hypnosis, perceptions during altered states of consciousness, screen memories, and brainwashing. He describes the projects of the CIA and other intelligence agencies, mentions research on brain implants and other mind control methods, such as brain entrainment and electromagnetic radiation. He speculates broadly on the possibility that abduction experiences are nothing more than induced hallucinations and that the extraterrestrial hypothesis is the province of the uncritical believers. He acknowledges that his own hypothesis remains far from proven. Author and artist Bud Hopkins makes the point that in his files he has reports of classic abduction cases which date from 1949-148. This was before any thought of the CIA. A colleague reported a strange clinical case. During a past life therapy session, a female client located a lifetime as a cave dweller. This is not unusual. Clients sometimes find the source of a present life problem in a very primitive setting. This seems to be the first human experience on the planet. As the client described her activities in the lifetime, she suddenly found herself being taken up into a craft. She proceeded to outline a classic UFO abduction, after which she was returned to the ground, quite confused. This is only one case, which does not establish a pattern, just a very interesting possibility. Drive. Corey Hammond, in his disturbing Greenbaum lecture, states that Alan Dulles, director of the Office of Strategic Services, or OSS, at the end of World War II, and others from the intelligence community, were arranging to get Nazi scientists out of Europe. Not only did they procure the rocket scientists, but also Nazi doctors involved in mind control research in the camps. 149 The Nazi doctors, Hammond claims, were Satanists. The CIA was established by the National Security Act in 1947. Its first director was Admiral Roscoe Hilling Coetter. Presumably, the German doctors were pressed into duty at the CIA and the mind control 104 close encounters of the possession kind techniques developed by the Nazis were put to use in the service of the United States. 150 In our clinical practice, we have heard narratives, through the voices of many hundreds of our clients, ostensibly from leaders of alien civilizations who formed alliances with other more powerful and resourceful beings. These others promised great benefits to the peoples of those civilizations. They also promised expanded power to the leaders and greater control over the citizens, not only of their DWN homeworld, but of other worlds of people they might find and overcome. Most of these agreements were formed with the dark forces, shapeshifters who can appear in most benevolent forms. The needy, greedy rulers naively accepted the terms of the deceptive DFEs. Once such an agreement is in place, the DFEs simply take over. There is precedent for such a pact with the dark forces, not only among the ordinary people of Earth, but also with the political leaders. Adolf Hitler actively courted the power of the dark forces. 151 There is no doubt he was in league with the forces of darkness, and this plague devastated the people of Germany and other nearby European countries for many years. He rose from political obscurity to become the undisputed ruler of a powerful nation. The atrocities committed under this regime shocked the world. Details are still coming into public awareness. Some UFO investigators have suggested that the U.S. government formed an alliance with aliens shortly after World War II ended. 152 Allegedly, the agreement outlined an exchange of alien technology for the right to experiment on humans. If there is any truth in this, it means our own leaders betrayed the individual freedoms and right to self-determination that were the foundation of the country over two centuries ago. Is it possible that our own government has established secret agreements with aliens? From my experience over the years with many clients in altered states of consciousness utilizing natural psychic and clairvoyant abilities to explore such questions, it seems the logical conclusion. Has the United States government been actively involved with off-planet beings? Extraterrestrials, aliens? Has the medium of exchange for alien technology been the lives of the free citizens of our country? In session, we don't ask specific questions regarding such activity. The EATs channeling through the voice of the clients divulge such information. Most cases of ET attachment involve DFEs. The connection with these entities often spans lifetimes. This intrusive activity has been going on for a long time. It seems that only in recent decades the governments of perhaps several nations have been contacted by the otherworldly beings, EATs, for the purpose of establishing some agreements which could be mutually profitable. For the aliens, such a cooperative venture would make their activities much easier and more productive. If government officials, at a highly secret level, have established friendly contact with aliens, created formal agreements for trade of technology, then the citizens, under control of the government, are fair game for the alien scientists and colonists, as described in earlier chapters. As we have heard in so many Clinical 105 Savvy sessions, nearly all the intrusive aliens are infested with, and controlled by, DFEs. I feel certain that government agents and military personnel would not any harbor any belief in the reality of DFEs, nor would they acknowledge the existence of Dark Force entities, the classic demon. Therefore, the Dark Force/alien connection remains unknown, unseen, unchallenged, and able to wreak havoc with our social system. After years of experience in exploring the further reaches of consciousness with clients in altered states, I have come to accept the existence of levels or states of reality other than our normal, three-dimensional world. The events I have described in this book take place in these paranormal levels of reality: remote viewing, the NDE, the OOB, precognition, clairvoyance, spiritual healing, and other paranormal events are perfectly normal in these realities. The mystics have described these realities for centuries, even millennia. Physicists have only recently discovered this territory. Can something be done to ward off this invasion? Yes, people can do something, for themselves and for each other, with the techniques of past life therapy, recovery of soul fragmentation, spirit releasement therapy, extraterrestrial releasement therapy, and remote spirit releasement therapy. The EETs and DFEs can be discovered and released appropriately. The people who choose this work, as a vocation or avocation, will be doing a great and selfless service for humanity. It has been said that we are our brother's keeper, and beyond that, we are our brother. The rewards are beyond comprehension. 106 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind Epilogue. There is one power in the universe of universes. It is the path of light, love, forgiveness, healing, and spiritual evolution. The power of the light slash love can be distorted and misused by anyone with such miscreant intention to damage or destroy other God-created beings. This abuse is a violation of the free will of the victim, the person who is the object of the distorted force. It also violates the basic nature of the perpetrator. To misuse the power of the light is to incur severe karmic debt. Over the years, clients have discovered the same dark force entities showing up in past lives down through the centuries. In every instance of black magic, Satan worship, sorcery, spells, curses, and ritual magic of every sort, this has been consistent in every human activity, organization or institution which exerted power and control over others, whether by one individual or a group of individuals. Clients who recall existence on other planets describe the same DFEs, connected with the same Luciferian source. In every human drama there is one recurrent theme: conflict between good and evil, clearly evident in the tragedies, less malevolent in the comedies. So many love stories are made the more poignant through the intrusion of the dark forces, and more triumphant in overcoming that intrusion. Does love triumph? It seems an uphill struggle, yet as a past lives therapist, I see that long struggle heading inexorably toward a culmination in the light. We came from that ineffable creator source, and we are going home. We are all going home eventually. None will be left behind. None will be left out. Not even the DFEs. Perhaps the Lucifer energy is the ultimate prodigal son, leaving in rebellion, causing unfathomable chaos and destruction in his wrath, finally coming home and being welcomed back into the fold. Forgiveness and love are the healing powers of the light. We come into this existence with a life script for the present life. If we can uncover our future lives as well as past lives, it would seem the play is already written, and we add only minor variations to the script along the way. Other elements or forces can alter the flow of the drama, yet we are still heading in the direction of home. Nothing can alter that. The bard William Shakespeare once wrote, "All the world is but a stage and we the players on it." His view is limited. The universe is the stage. What a magnificent drama we have scripted. 107 Savvy Appendix UFO Matrix of Belief. The following is a matrix of the spectrum of scenarios found in current literature which are used to try to explain so-called UFO or EI, extraterrestrial intelligence, activity, or the lack thereof. Each matrix entry has a supporting constituency. Some of these constituencies are quite vocal, and others less so, but each is apparently confident that their current belief structures are the most reasonable, given the data which are generally accepted. There most certainly is a large minority which is not willing to commit to one matrix entry over another, or in combination, until additional data are available. 0. All sightings except for a small minority which lack detail can be explained in terms of naturally occurring phenomena. 1. Craft from off-planet, but from the visible universe. 2. Interdimensional penetrations by intelligent life forms, based in or operating from another, parallel, overlapping dimension than our own space-time. 3. Earth-based others, referenced throughout history, who may be other life forms, or predominantly resident in realms or dimensions we term spiritual. 4. Hoaxes or dramatic scenarios perpetrated by various intelligence organizations as part of broader security or disinformation campaigns. 5. Broader social engineering, or population mind-influencing programs, designed to promote a more universal planetary consciousness and to reduce the influence of nationalistic or religious traditions. 6. Any combination of the above, including all of the above, intent, unknown, possible U.S. government levels of awareness, involvement and / or control of the phenomena termed UFO. 0. No activity, inasmuch as the phenomena are explained by naturally occurring events. 1. Aware, but not directly involved or in contact with the perpetrating forces. 2. In contact to some degree, and cooperating with at least some of the source phenomena or entities, either for technology trading or because government believes it has no choice. 3. Government is the perpetrator of at least some of the phenomenology, perhaps drawing on the source experience for ideas and methods, but employing the events for other purposes, such as intelligence, disinformation or to alarm other nations. 4. At least some UFO phenomena are results of government or other agency-sponsored experiments in mind control, or social control experiments or initiatives. Note, the Human Potential Foundation, Inc., does not endorse any of the entries of the preceding matrix of belief. The matrix has been prepared to stimulate discussion and research into the broad spectrum of ideas that are represented in current literature addressing what are popularly known as UFO phenomena. Copyright 1993, Human Potential Foundation, Inc., author, C. Richard Farley. 108 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. Bibliography: Abrams, Jeremiah, 1990. Reclaiming the Inner Child, Los Angeles, Jeremy P. Tarcher, Alexander, Mark, 1978. The Man Who Exercised the Bermuda Triangle, New York, A. S. Barnes, Allison, Ralph, 1980. Minds in Many Pieces, New York, Rawson, Wade, American Psychiatric Association, 1994. Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 4th ed., Washington, D.C. Author, Andrews, George C., 1992. Extraterrestrials Among Us, Street, 12, Minnesota, Llewellyn, Anshin, Ruth Nyanda, 1972. The Reality of the Devil, Evil in Man, New York, Delta, Ashley, Leonard R., N., 1996. The Complete Book of Devils and Demons, New York, Barricade, Asagioli, Robert, 1965. Psychosynthesis, New York, Viking, Atwater, P. M. H., 1994. Beyond the Light, New York, Carroll Publishing Group, Baldwin, William, 1992. _ Spirit Releasement Therapy, A Technique Manual _ 2nd ed., Terra Alberta, West Virginia, Headline Books, Barlow, D., Abel, G., and Blanchard, E., 1977. Gender Identity Change in a Transsexual, An Exorcism, Archives of Sexual Behavior, Carat Volume, 6, pp. 387-395, Besham, Dunn, 1972. Deliver Us from Evil, Washington Depot, Connecticut, Chosen Books, Becker, Robert, M., D., and Seddon, Gary, 1985. New York, William Morrow, Bergmark, Janet, 1997. In the Presence of Aliens, Street, Paul, Llewellyn, Blatty, William P., 1971. The Exorcist, New York, Harper and Row, Blitzer, June, 1986. The Dunning International Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary, Norfolk, Virginia. The Dunning Company, Bauort, Walter, 1978. Operation Mind Control, The Cryptocracy's Plan to Psycho-Civilize You, Limited Researchers Edition, Fort Bragg, California, Flatland Editions, Bradshaw, John, 1990. Homecoming, Reclaiming and Championing Your Inner Child, New York, Bantam, Bramley, William, 1993. Gods of Eden, New York, Avon, Brandon, Ruth, 1983. The Spiritualists, The Passion for the Occult in the 19th and 20th Centuries, New York, Alfred A. Knopf, Brennan, Barbara Ann, 1987. Hands of Light, A Guide to Healing Through the Human Energy Field, New York, Bantam, Brittle, Gerald, 1980. The Demonologist, Englewood Cliffs, New Jersey, Prentice Hall, Brooksmith, Peter, 1995. UFO, The Complete Sightings, New York, Barnes & Noble, Bruyere, Rosalind, 1989. Wheels of Light, A Study of the Chakras, Sierra Madre, California, Bond Productions, Brian, C. D. B. 1995. Close Encounters of the Fourth Kind, Alien Abduction, UFOs, and the Conference at M. I. T. New York, Knopf, Bugs, E. A. Wallace, 1967. Egyptian Book of the Dead, New York, Dover, Bull, Titus, 1932. Analysis of Unusual Experience in Healing Relative to Diseased Minds, New York, James H. Hislop Foundation, Campbell, Robert J., ed., 1981. Psychiatric Dictionary, 5th ed., New York, Oxford University, Carlsberg, Kim, 1995. Beyond My Wildest Dreams, Diary of a UFO Abductee, Santa Fe, Bear and Company, 109 Savy Chaplin, Annabelle, 1977. The Bright Light of Death, Marina Del Rey, California, D.E.V.O.R.S.S. Constantine, Alex, 1995. Psychic Dictatorship in the U.S.A. Portland, Oregon, Farrell House, Corbin, Henry, 1972. Mundus Imaginalis, or The Imaginal and the Imaginary, Ipswich, England, Golgonooza Press, Corso, Colonel, Philip, Rhett, 1997. The Day After Roswell, New York, Pocketbooks, Cox, D., 1968. Modern Psychology, The Teachings of Carl Gustav Jung, New York, Harper & Row, Crabtree, Adam, 1985. Multiple Man, New York, Prager, Crabtree, Adam, 1997. Trans Zero, Breaking the Spell of Conformity, Toronto, Somerville House Publishing, Kraft, Michael, 1996. Alien Impact, New York, Street, Martins, Crampton, Martha, 1981. Psychosynthesis, in R. Corsini, ed., Handbook of Innovative Psychotherapies, pp. 709-723. New York, Wiley, Delgado, Jose M., R., 1969. Physical Control of the Mind, Toward a Psycho-Civilized Society, New York, Harper, Diltz, Robert, Grinder, John, Bandler, Richard, Bandler, Leslie, Delozier, Judith, 1980. Neuro-Linguistic Programming, Volume I, The Study of the Structure of Subjective Experience, Cupertino, California, Meta Publications, Dossi, Larry, 1993. Healing Words, The Power of Prayer and the Practice of Medicine, San Francisco, Harper San Francisco, Ellenbrugger, Henri F., 1970. The Discovery of the Unconscious, New York, Basic Books, Feher, Leslie, 1981. The Psychology of Birth, The Roots of Human Personality, New York, Continuum, Ferracci, Piero, 1982. What We May Be, Los Angeles, Tarcher, Fior, Edith, 1978. You Have Been Here Before, New York, Ballantine, Fior, Edith, 1987. The Unquiet Dead, New York, Doubleday/Dolphin, Fior, Edith, 1989, Encounters, New York, Doubleday, Fodor, Nander, 1949, The Search for the Beloved, A Clinical Investigation of the Trauma of Birth and Prenatal Conditioning, New York, Hermitage, Fowler, Raymond, 1990, The Watchers, The Secret Design Behind UFO Abduction, New York, Bantam, Fowler, Raymond, 1995, The Watchers II, Exploring UFOs and the Near-Death Experience, Newburgh, Oregon, Wildflower Press, Fremantle, F., and Trungpa, C., 1975, The Tibetan Book of the Dead, Boulder, Shambhala, Friesen, James, 1991, Uncovering the Mystery of MPD, Its Shocking Origins, Its Surprising Cure, San Bernardino, California, Here's Life, Gabriel, Michael, 1992, Voices from the Womb, Lower Lake, California, Asian, Gallup, George, 1982, Adventures in Immortality, New York, McGraw-Hill, Gall, Allen, 1968, The Founders of Psychical Research, New York, Skokken Books, Good, Timothy, 1988, Above Top Secret, The Worldwide UFO Cover-Up, New York, William Morrow, Giroff, Stan, and Halifax, Joan, 1976, Psychedelics and the Experience of Death, in Arnold Toynbee, ed., Life After Death, pp. 197-198, New York, McGraw-Hill, Giroff, Stan, 1975, Realms of the Human Unconscious, Observations from LSD Research, New York, Viking Press, 110 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind, Giroff, Stan, 1985, Beyond the Brain, New York, State University of New York, Gurdum, Arthur, 1982, The Psychic Dimensions of Mental Health, Great Britain, Turnstone, Hall, Calvin and Nordby, Vernon, S., 1979, A Primer of Freudian Psychology, 25th Anniversary ed., New York, New American Library, Hammond, Ida May and Frank, 1973, Pigs in the Parlor, A Practical Guide to Deliverance, Kirkwood, Missouri, Impact Books, Harner, Michael, 1980, The Way of the Shaman, San Francisco, Harper and Row, Herbert, Nick, 1987, Quantum Reality, Beyond the New Physics, New York, Anchor, Hickman, Irene, 1994, Remote the Possession, Kirksville, Missouri, Hickman Systems, Hopkins, Bud, 1983, Missing Time, New York, Berkeley Books, Hopkins, Bud, 1987, Intruders, New York, Random House, Hopkins, Bud, 1996, Witnessed, The True Story of the Brooklyn Bridge UFO Abductions, New York, Pocket Books, Howe, Linda, 1989, An Alien Harvest, Littleton, Colorado, Linda Moulton Howe Productions, Hoyt, Olga, 1978, Exorcism, New York, Franklin Watts, Hislop, James, 1920, Contact with the Other World, New York, The Century Company, Ingerman, Sandra, 1991, Soul Retrieval, San Francisco, Harper, Jacobs, David M., 1992, Secret Life, First-Hand Documented Accounts of UFO Abductions, New York, Simon & Schuster, Jacobs, David M., 1998, The Threat, The Secret Agenda, What the Aliens Really Want, and How They Plan to Get It, New York, Simon & Schuster, James, William, 1950, The Principles of Psychology, Volume, IN2, New York, Dover, first published in Canada in 1890 by General Publishing Company, Limited, Genoff, Arthur, 1983, Imprints, The Lifelong Effects of the Birth Experience, New York, Coward McCann, Jung, Carl, 1978, Flying Saucers, A Modern Myth of Things Seen in the Skies, New Jersey, Princeton University Press, Kelsey, D., and Grant, J., 1967. Many Lifetimes. New York. Doubleday. Kehoe, Donald. 1950. The Flying Saucers Are Real. New York. Fawcett. Klimo, John. 1987. Channeling. Investigations on Receiving Information from Paranormal Sources. Los Angeles. Tarcher, Kroger, William S. 1977. Clinical and Experimental Hypnosis, Second Ed. Philadelphia. Lippincott. Kiebler Ross, Elizabeth. 1969. On Death and Dying. New York. Macmillan. LeBoyer, Frederick. 1976. Birth Without Violence. New York. Alfred A. Knopf. Lishan. Lawrence. 1974. The Medium, The Mystic, and the Physicist. Toward a General Theory of the Paranormal. New York. Viking. Lishan. Lawrence. 1976. Alternate Realities. The Search for the Full Human Being. New York. Ballantine. Lindemann. Michael. 1991. UFOs and the Alien Presence. Newburgh, Oregon. Wildflower Press. Lynn. Matthew and Lynn. Dennis. 1981. Deliverance Prayer. New York. Paulist Press. McDonald, J. 1964. Suicide and Homicide by Automobile. American Journal of Psychiatry. 121. pp. 366-370. Mack, John. 1994. Abduction. New York. Scribner. Hillsavey MacNutt, Francis. 1995. Deliverance from Evil Spirits. A Practical Manual. Grand Rapids, Michigan. Chosen Books. Mandelker, Scott. 1995. From Elsewhere. New York. Birch Lane Press. Martin. Malachi. 1976. Hostage to the Devil. New York. Bantam. Maury. Eugene. 1988. Exorcism. Westchester, Pennsylvania. Whitford. McCall. Kenneth. 1982. Healing the Family Tree. London. Sheldon. McMoneagle, Joseph. 1993. Mind Trek. Exploring Consciousness, Time, and Space Through Remote Viewing. Charlottesville, Virginia. Hampton Roads. Meek, George. 1980. After We Die. What Then? Franklin, North Carolina. Medicians. Monroe. Robert. 1971. Journeys Out of the Body. New York. Doubleday. Monroe. Robert. 1985. Far Journeys. Garden City, New York. Doubleday/Dolphin. Montgomery. John Warwick. Ed. 1976. Demon Possession. Minneapolis. Bethany Fellowship, Inc. Montgomery, Ruth. 1979. Strangers Among Us. New York. Ballantine. Morehouse. David. 1996. Psychic Warrior. Inside the CIA's Stargate Program. New York. Street. Martins. Myers. F. W. H. 1904. Human Personality and Its Survival of Bodily Death. New York. Longmans. Green. And Company. Nigel Osjord. Hans. 1988. Possession and Exorcism. S. And D. Coates. Trends. Oregon, Wisconsin. New Frontiers Center. Original work published 1983. Nauman. Street. Elmo. 1974. Exorcism Through the Ages. Secaucus, New Jersey. Citadel. Netherton. Morris. 1978. Past Lives Therapy. New York. William Morrow. Newton. Michael. 1995. Journey of Souls. Street. Paul, Minnesota. Llewellyn Publications. Nicola. Reverend. John. 1974. Diabolical Possession and Exorcism. Rockford, Illinois. 10 books. Esther H. Traugott. 1974. Possession and Exorcism. D. Liberson. Trends. New York. Causeway. Original work published 1921. Ostrom. Joseph. 1987. You and Your Aura. Wellingboro. Northamptonshire. Great Britain. The Aquarian Press. Peck. M. Scott. 1983. People of the Lie. New York. Simon & Schuster. Puerick. Andreja. 1974. Urey, New York, Anchor Press. Putnam, Frank, 1989. Diagnosis and Treatment of Multiple Personality Disorder. New York, Guilford, Rama, S. Ballantyne, R. and Ajaya, S. 1976. Yoga and Psychotherapy. Honesdale, Pennsylvania. The Himalayan Institute of Yoga Science and Philosophy. Randys, Jenny. 1993. Alien Contacts and Abductions. New York, Sterling, Ravenscroft, Trevor. 1973. The Spear of Destiny. The Occult Power Behind the Spear Which Pierced the Side of Christ. York Beach, Maine. Weiser, Rawlings, Norris. 1993. To Hell and Back. Nashville. Thomas Nelson. Reed, Anderson. 1990. Shouting at the Wolf. New York, Citadel Press. Ring, Ken. 1980. Life with Death. New York, Coward, McCann and Geoghegan. Ring, Ken. 1984. Heading Toward Omega. New York, William Morrow. Ring, Ken. 1992. The Omega Project. New York, William Morrow. Ricci, David, Ph.D. 1999. The Hiss of the ASP. Terra Alberta, West Virginia. Headline Books, Inc. Ricci, George. 1978. Return from Tomorrow. Waco, Texas. Chosen. Revale. Hippolyte Leon Denizard. 1976. The Medium's Book. Anna Blackwell. Trends. London. 112 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. Psychic Press Limited. Original work published 1876. Revale. Hippolyte Leon Denizard. 1976. The Spirit's Book. Anna Blackwell. Trends. New York. Arno. Original work published 1875. Rodwick. Adolf. 1975. Possessed by Satan. M. Ebon. Trends. Garden City, New York. Doubleday and Company. Original work published 1963. Rodo. D. Scott. 1985. The Search for Yesterday. New Jersey. Prentice Hall. Rodo. D. Scott. 1987. The Infinite Boundary. New York. Dodd. Mead. Ross. Colin. 1989. Multiple Personality. Diagnosis. Clinical Features and Treatment. New York. Wiley. Ross. Colin. 1994. The Osiris Complex. Toronto. University of Toronto. Rowan. Fred. 1978. Technospies. The Secret Network That Spies on You. New York. Putnam. Royal. Lysa and Priest. Keith. 1990. The Prism of Lyra. Rev. Ed. Scottsdale, Arizona. Royal Priest Research Press. Royal. Lysa and Priest. Keith. 1992. Visitors from Within. Scottsdale, Arizona. Royal Priest Research Press. Russell. Jeffrey Burton. 1977. The Devil. Perceptions of Evil from Antiquity to Primitive Christianity. New York. Cornell University Press. Sebum, Michael. 1982. Recollections of Death. New York. Harper and Row. Sagan, Carl. 1980. Cosmos. New York. Random House. Sargent, William. 1973. The Mind Possessed. New York. Penguin. Schnabel, Jim. 1997. Remote Viewers. The Secret History of America's Psychic Spies. New York. Dell. Schultz. Duane. 1981. A History of Modern Psychology. 3rd ed. New York. Academic Press. Singer. June. 1973. Boundaries of the Soul. The Practice of Jung Psychology. New York. Doubleday. Citrin. Zecharia. 1995. Divine Encounters. A Guide to Visions, Angels, and Other Emissaries. New York. Avon. Snow. Chet. 1989. Mass Dreams of the Future. New York. Doubleday. Star. Aloha. 1987. Prisoners of Earth. Los Angeles. Aura. Stevenson. Ian. 1974. Xenoglossy. A Review and Report of a Case. Charlottesville. University of Virginia. Stevenson, Ian, 1984, Unlearned Language, New Studies in Xenoglossy, Charlottesville, University of Virginia, Stone, Hal, and Winkleman, Sidra, 1985, Embracing Ourselves, Marina Del Rey, California, DEVORSS, Stone, Hal, and Winkleman, Sidra, 1989, Embracing Each Other, San Rafael, California, New World Library, Supfin, Dick, 1976, You Were Born Again to Be Together, New York, Simon & Schuster, Supfin, Dick, 1978, Past Lives, Future Loves, New York, Simon & Schuster, Swedenborg, Emmanuel, 1979, Heaven and Hell, G. F. Dole, Trans, New York, Swedenborg Foundation, original work published 1758, Sylvia, Claire, 1997, Change of Heart, New York, Little, Brown, Taylor, Eugene, 1984, William James on Exceptional Mental States, The 1896 Lowell Lectures, Amherst, University of Massachusetts, Teets, Bob, 1995, West Virginia UFOs, Close Encounters in the Mountain State, Terra Alberta, West Virginia, Headline Books, 113 Savy Teets, Bob, 1997, UFOs and Mental Health, Terra Alberta, West Virginia, Headline Books, Temple, Robert, 1976, The Serious Mystery, London, Sidgwick and Jackson, Thomas, Gordon, 1989, Journey into Madness, The True Story of Secret CIA Mind Control and Medical Abuse, New York, Bantam, Thompson, Keith, 1991, Angels and Aliens, UFOs and the Mythic Imagination, New York, Fawcett Columban, Trench, Brinsley Lipower, 1960, The Sky People, New York, Award Books, Turner, Carla, 1992, Into the Fringe, New York, Berkeley, Turner, Carla, 1994, Masquerade of Angels, Roland, R., Keltworks, Turner, Carla, 1994, Taken, Roland R., Keltworks, Valley, Jacques, 1965, Anatomy of a Phenomenon, UFOs in Space, New York, Ballantine, Valley, Jacques, 1979, Messengers of Deception, Berkeley, and /OR Press, Valley, Jacques, 1988, Dimensions, A Casebook of Alien Contact, Chicago, Contemporary Books, Valley, Jacques, 1990, Confrontations, A Scientist's Search for Alien Contact, New York, Ballantine, Valley, Jacques, 1991, Revelations, Alien Contact and Human Deception, New York, Ballantine, Van Dusen, Wilson, 1974, The Presence of Other Worlds, New York, Swedenborg Foundation, Verney, Thomas, 1982, The Secret Life of the Unborn Child, New York, Dell, Verney, Thomas, 1987, Pre- and Perinatal Psychology, An Introduction, New York, Human Sciences, Victor, Jeffrey, 1993, Satanic Panic, The Creation of a Contemporary Legend, Chicago, Open Court, Villaldo, Albert, and Krippner, Stanley, 1986, Healing States, New York, Simon & Schuster, von den Eichen, Erich, 1970, Chariots of the Gods, New York, Putnam, Wambach, Helen, 1978, Reliving Past Lives, New York, Harper and Row, Wambach, Helen, 1979, Life Before Life, New York, William, Morrow, Weiss, Brian, 1988, Many Lives, Many Masters, New York, Simon & Schuster, Whitfield, Charles, 1987, Healing the Child Within, Deerfield Beach, Florida, Health Communications, Witten, Joel, and Fisher, Joe, 1986, Life Between Life, New York, Doubleday, Wickland, Carl, 1924, 30 Years Among the Dead, Los Angeles, National Psychological Institute, Wicklund, Carl, 1934, The Gateway of Understanding, Los Angeles, National Psychological Institute, Wolger, Roger, 1987, Other Lives, Other Selves, New York, Doubleday, 114 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. Notes 1. Jacques Vallée offers exceptionally intelligent and clear-thinking evaluation of the UFO field in his books, Messengers of Deception, Dimensions, Confrontations, Revelations, and others. Jenny Randes has produced several fine books on the history of UFOs and abduction, including Alien Contacts and Abductions. Michael Kraft has produced an intelligent, far-reaching survey of UFO, et, and related subject matter in his book, Alien Impact. 2. For the first time, the fourth edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 1994, assembled and by the American Psychiatric Association, included a category of religious or spiritual problem, p. 685, 3 memories, dreams, reflections, by C. G. Jung was recorded and edited by Aniela Jaffe, translated from the German by Richard and Clara Winston. It gives us an intimate glimpse into the brilliant mind of this man who deeply influenced contemporary psychological thinking, and a hint of his thinking and feeling about the spiritual aspects of consciousness. For SETI is the government-funded program designed to search for radio signals from intelligent sources outside Earth. 5. According to a 1991 Roper poll, perhaps 2% of the American people, or about 5 million Americans, have experienced events consistent with those that abductees experienced before they knew they were abducted. The survey was constructed by David Jacobs and Bud Hopkins. See The Threat by David Jacobs, Ph.D. 6 authors: Bud Hopkins, Carla Turner, David Jacobs, Whitley Strieber, Edith Fior, Raymond Fowler, Kim Carlsberg, John Mack, and many others have written about the intrusive, physically and emotionally traumatic events which have been labeled UFO abductions. 7. Stan Giroff, M.D., has explored human consciousness perhaps more extensively than any other investigator. His books describe his work in many of these phenomena. See Realms of the Human Unconscious, Observations from LSD Research, and Beyond the Brain. 8. Author Eugene Taylor has done much to stimulate interest in James' concept of radical empiricism. 9. Reincarnation in some form is an integral part of 80% of the world's religious teachings. The concept of karma and reincarnation offer a method of balancing cause and effect. The golden rule is you sow, so shall you reap, is a clear expression of karma in action. Past life therapy is based on the notion that present life problems and conflicts stem from traumatic events in prior lifetimes. Uncovering these traumatic memories in a therapy session can begin the process of healing the past and improving the present. 10. The notion of possession, or control of a living being by a non-physical consciousness, or entity, has been known or theorized in every time and every culture. The first recorded instance was found on a clay tablet in Assyrian cuneiform text some 2500 years ago. See Hoyt's Exorcism. 11. The bardos, or mental states of a person in the transition from living in the earth plane through dying and being reborn into the etheric planes, are well described in two classic works, Tibetan Book of the Dead, and Egyptian Book of the Dead. George Meek, a retired engineer, discovered and described the higher vibrational planes of existence while working on an electronic device he dubbed Spiricum, designed for communication between humans and the spirit world. His depiction of the spiritual regions is similar to the accepted map of the territory, described in esoteric literature. See After We Die, What Then? Immanuel Swedenborg, 1688-1722. Wrote many volumes describing his explorations of the non-physical realms. One classic is Heaven and Hell. 12. Seagal, The Founders of Psychical Discord, pp. 3-31. 13. This term was coined by Reverend Judith A. Baldwin and is the subject of a forthcoming book, one of a series of many volumes on practical spirituality in everyday life. 14. Near-death experiencers describe the golden white light which they perceive as approaching them or surrounding them as they leave the body. In a past life regression, the past life 115 Sevron character is guided through the death experience as part of therapy. They describe the golden white light. The descriptions match. The newly deceased spirit moves into a brilliant golden white light, flooded with an overwhelming sense of pure love. Except when they don't. 15. Brinsley Lipower Trench produced a scholarly book entitled, The Sky People. 16. TV Guide, August 24, 1996. 17. Ralph Allison, M.D. Minds in Many Pieces. Adam Crabtree, Ph.D. Multiple Man. Ken McCall, M.D. Healing the Family Tree. Arthur Gordon, M.D. The Psychic Dimensions of Mental Health. Edith Fior, Ph.D. The Unquiet Dead. William Baldwin, Ph.D. Spirit Releasement Therapy. A Technique Manual. The December 1993 issue of Dissociation, the Journal of the International Society for the Study of Dissociation, was devoted entirely to the subjects of possession and exorcism. This is the professional journal of multiple personal disorder. 1. These are very effective inductions into an altered state of consciousness. The effect bridge connects the client to another time when they felt the same emotions as in the present moment. It is described as a method of experientially moving a client from a present to a past incident over an effect, that is, an emotion or feeling, which is common to both events rather than through an overlapping idea or mental concept in the manner of psychoanalytic association. The somatic bridge connects to an event which is the source of the body memory that is surfacing as physical sensation in the session. The linguistic bridge is triggered by repetition of the metaphoric phrase the client uses to describe the problem or conflict. The metaphoric phrase is usually a literal description of the earlier trauma. These emotions, body memories, and metaphoric descriptions emerge from the subconscious mind, the repository of all remembered experience. 19. Spirit Releasement Therapy. A Technique Manual is the first textbook, or teaching manual, on regression therapy, which includes past life therapy, recovery of soul fragmentation, and spirit releasement therapy. Past life therapy has several essential steps. 1. Identification into the past life character. 2. Resolution or processing the conflict. 3. The after-death experience. 4. Disidentification from the past life character. Recovery of soul fragmentation requires several steps. 1. Discovery of the broken places, the empty spaces, the voids in one's essence. 2. Location of the soul fragment that split off from that place. 3. Resolution of the conflict which led to the fragmentation. 4. Recovery and reintegration of the fragment. Spirit releasement therapy has 6 distinct steps. 1. Discovery of all attached entities of the various types. 2. Differential diagnosis and identification of which type it is. 3. Dialogue with the entities to determine the cause of the attachment and to resolve any conflicts which still hold the entity attached. 4. The releasement process specific to each type of entity. 5. A guided imagery of light to metaphorically fill the etheric space left by the departing entities. There is never just one. 6. Ongoing therapy to strengthen the resistance to further attachments. Much of this body of knowledge and many of the clinical techniques were developed by the author. 20. According to many personal accounts over the years, the alien intruders appear to defy the laws of physics which govern our earthly existence. They move through solid walls, they levitate, regardless of gravity, they appear and disappear from view, yet they can interact with the physical bodies of the contactee or abductee. 21. A concise explanation of Freudian psychology is contained in the little book, A Primer of Freudian Psychology, by Calvin Hall. Freud's writings were extensive, and though some of the concepts he set forth have been challenged, even dismissed in recent decades, he had enormous impact on the field of human psychology. 22. Repression is the active process of keeping out and ejecting, banishing from consciousness, ideas or impulses that are unacceptable to it. For example, a son may feel hate for his father. Both the idea of hating father and the emotion associated with the idea may be repressed. The hate may be transferred to another authority figure, and the father figure may become an object of love by the son. Thus can repressed memories be altered and distorted. Campbell, p. 546, 23. For an intense in-depth look at birth and its effect on our lives, Stangiroff's book, Beyond the Brain, is not to be missed. 116. Close Encounters of the Possession Kind. 24. David Cheek, M.D. was a practicing obstetrician-gynecologist for over 30 years. He retired from that field and focused on hypnotherapy. As president of the American Society for Clinical Hypnosis, he assisted in training hundreds of physicians, psychologists, and dentists in the art of clinical hypnosis. As a continuing research project, he kept careful medical records of deliveries he performed. In later years, he used regression hypnosis with many of his babies to assist them in recalling their birth experience. These teenagers and young adults were able to accurately describe details of their own deliveries. 25. There is a growing literature on the subject of pre- and perinatal memories and therapy. Nander Fodor, 1949. The Search for the Beloved. Frederick LeBoyer, 1975. Birth Without Violence. Leslie Feher, 1981. The Psychology of Birth. Thomas Verney, 1982. The Secret Life of the Unborn Child. Arthur Genoff, 1983. Imprints. Thomas Verney, 1987. Pre- and Perinatal Psychology. Michael Gabriel, 1992. Voices from the Womb. 26. Birth regression and pre- and perinatal therapy are well-established modalities used by therapists in many countries. A professional organization called the Association for Pre- and Perinatal Psychology and Health is dedicated to the study of pregnancy, reproduction, and the mental and emotional health of the unborn and the newborn. 27. Sandra Ingerman wrote a lovely book, Soul Retrieval, which describes this healing method used by shamans in indigenous cultures across the world. She discovered the condition in her own female clients who described psychically leaving the body when they were being sexually abused. 28. The DSM-IV, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 4th edition, is published by the American Psychiatric Association. All known and recognized mental and emotional disorders are described, named, and given a code number. Some of the names are changed with each new edition of the book. Mental health practitioners use this system for diagnosis and for insurance purposes. 29. William James, the father of modern psychology, described the various selves of the human personality in Volume 2 of his monumental work, The Principles of Psychology. 30. Psychosynthesis is the psychological system which best describes subpersonalities, their source, effects, and treatment. Robert Assagioli, a contemporary of Freud and Jung, broke away from the limits of psychoanalysis as set by Freud and developed this more spiritual model of the human personality. His book, Psychosynthesis, is the classic work on the subject. Piero Ferrucci expanded on the theme in his book, What We May Be. 31. The subpersonality is described as a structured constellation of attitudes, drives, habit patterns, and belief systems, organized in adaptation to forces in the internal and external environment. It is considered to be crystallized energy that is split off from the whole of the personality, usually at a young age, as a result of some unmet basic need or drive or emotional trauma. It remains intact at that same age, diligently attempting to meet the original unmet need, even though many years pass. See Martha Cramden in Corsini's Handbook of Innovative Therapies. 32. Robert Munro described the out-of-body experience in his books, Journeys Out of the Body, Far Journeys, and The Ultimate Journey. Many other books have been written on the subject. 33. The silver cord is described in the Bible, Ecclesiastes 12:6. 34. Giroff and Halifax, Life After Death, 1976. 35. Taylor, 1984. William James on Exceptional Mental States. The 1896 Lowell Lectures, p. 110. 36. The first book on recovering memories of past lives under hypnosis was published in France in 1911, written by a Frenchman, Colonel Albert de Rochas. In 1942, A. Sir Roy Martin self-published his book on the subject entitled, Researches in Reincarnation and Beyond. In 1955, Maury Bernstein wrote his book on his hypnosis experience with a Colorado woman entitled, The Search for Bridie Murphy. In 1978, books by Edith Fiore, Morris Netherton, Helen Wambach, and Dick Sutphin were published on the clinical application of past life regression. Since then, dozens of books have been written on the subject. There is a professional organization called the 117 SAVI Association for Past Life Research and Therapies, Inc., dedicated to promoting the field of past life therapy through educational conferences held twice a year in the U.S. The organization is headquartered in Riverside, California. 37 The Near-Death Experience, or NDE, was first described in a book by Raymond Moody, Life After Life. A 1982 Gallup poll indicated that as many as 8 million Americans were near-death experiencers. A later poll indicated as many as 11 million NDEERs. 38 Future life progressions are described in Past Lives, Future Lives by Bruce Goldberg, D.D.S., and Past Dreams of the Future by Chet Snow, Ph.D. 39 June Bletzer has produced a monumental volume entitled The Dunning International Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary. This definition of the monad can be found on page 408. 40 Psychologist Helen Wambach wrote Life Before Life, based on surveys of several thousand people from all across the country, that she regressed to the planning stage. 41 The concept of karma is similar to the notion of an eye for an eye, and as you sow, so shall you reap. It is equivalent to the golden rule, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. 42 Canadian psychiatrist Joel Witten, with Joe Fisher, wrote Life Between Life, an excellent book about the scientific explorations into the void separating one incarnation from the next. From the cover, 43 From Hinduism and Buddhism, the notion of a circular mandala which represents mankind's karma, resulting in birth, death, and repeated rebirths. It has three hub outgrowths symbolizing ignorance, lust, and anger. It has four spokes symbolizing gods, demigods, tortured souls, and human beings. The circle is emblematic of immortality and based on the theory that all people are shackled to this wheel of life, death, and rebirth until all karma is balanced. Bletzer, p. 680. 44 Scott Mandelker, Ph.D., has written of this phenomenon in his book, From Elsewhere, Being E.T. in America. He describes Wanderers and Walk INS. 45 This session is available on cassette tape. There is an irritating static on the tape, which is typical of the sessions involving EATS. 46 Claire Sylvia has written an interesting book, A Change of Heart, on her experience of having a heart and lung transplant. She describes a dream of inhaling Tim, after a deep kiss. She seeks many explanations for her post-surgery desire for beer and chicken nuggets. She gingerly skirts the issue of spirit attachment, describing it as preposterous. Tim, the organ donor, was killed on his motorcycle with a bag of chicken nuggets in his jacket pocket. He normally drank beer with such a meal. We have seen similar cases in which the entity joined at the time of the organ transplant. 47 The aura is the energy field surrounding and penetrating the body. There are many good books on the subject. 48 The chakra system consists of the major energy centers of the body and has to do with gathering and utilizing cosmic energy. Chakra is a Sanskrit word meaning wheel of light. Healer Rosalind Bruglia wrote an excellent book entitled Wheels of Light, a study of the chakras describing the chakras, the aura, and the UCLA research project on auras conducted by herself and Drive. Valerie Hunt, the book Yoga and Psychotherapy, The Evolution of Consciousness is a most worthwhile treatise on the subject. 49 Fior, edit, September, 1987, The Unquiet Dead. Lecture presented at the 7th Annual Fall Conference of the Association for Past Life Research and Therapies, Sacramento, California. At this lecture, Drive, Fior announced her clinical findings that nearly 100% of the population is affected by entities. The audience, mostly practicing therapists, who usually think they have it all together, went deathly quiet. It felt like the air had suddenly turned to concrete. She then said, well, almost 100%. There was a palpable sigh of relief from the audience. 50 Malachi Martin's book, Hostage to the Devil, is an informative volume on the Catholic views of demon possession and exorcism. The Roman ritual of exorcism is included in an appendix. 51 Francis McNutt is a well-established Christian healer and exorcist. His book, Deliverance 118 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind from Evil Spirits, is a clearly presented discourse on his experience of deliverance ministry. He offers training for deliverance ministers in Jacksonville, Florida. Deliverance Prayer, by Matthew and Dennis Lynn, is a collection of essays which explore deliverance prayer in tradition, in practice, and in the light of contemporary psychology. Pigs in the Parlor, A Practical Guide to Deliverance, by Frank and Ida May Hammond is considered a classic work on the practice of deliverance. 52 C. Brandon, The Spiritualists. 53 The spiritualist philosophy was expanded in Europe with the publication of two books by Hippolyte Léon Denisard Reveil under the pseudonym Allan Kardec. The Spirit's Book, in 1875, and The Medium's Book, in 1876. Both are channeled works and considered of high spiritual quality. Spiritism became the popular name of this expanded work. The term Cardicism grew out of Reveil's work, and this philosophy also became popular in Brazil. 54 Carl Wieckland, a psychiatrist, was an avid spiritualist. His wife, Anna, was a gifted medium. He chronicled his work in two books, 30 Years Among the Dead, and The Gateway to Understanding. He is the grandfather of spirit releasement therapy. His work is the foundation upon which this author built the methodology of SRT. 55 Spirit Releasement Therapy, A Technique Manual, 2nd ed., West Virginia, Headline Books, Inc., 1992, was the first published text on the clinical approach to releasing attached entities. It was also one of the first books on the techniques of past life therapy. Writing this 480-page book was a labor of love. I had worked in clinical practice for 10 years, developing many of the techniques by trial and error, and much course correction. When I began writing, whenever I lectured or taught on the subject, people asked for a book. I finally did it. The work continues to expand and our knowledge continues to grow. 56 Many books have been written in recent years on the inner child. Abrams, Bradshaw, Whitfield, and many others have contributed to this field. 57 These figures come from a medical textbook entitled Pathology of the Human Placenta, by Kurt Kellerschke and Peter Kaufman, page 680. 58 This is from a paper delivered at the International Forum on New Science, Fort Collins, Colorado, September 15, 1995. 59 C. Adam Crabtree's Multiple Man, a classic in multiple personality and possession. 60 C. Ralph Ellison's Minds in Many Pieces, a pioneering work by a psychiatrist on multiple personality and possession. 61 MacDonald, J., 1964, Suicide and Homicide by Automobile, American Journal of Psychiatry, 121. 62 Every such combination is possible. A treasure house of information in this field is Anderson Reed's Shouting at the Wolf. 63 The shadow is described as the darker personal side of each human being, that which is dreadful or evil and disapproved of by the conscious mind. This was one of the notions put forth by the great psychiatrist, Carl Jung, Cox, 1968, pp. 142-144. 64 Complete discussion and instruction on the six steps of SRT can be found in Spirit Releasement Therapy, A Technique Manual, 2nd edition, by William Baldwin, 1992. 65 These beings were otherworldly and other-dimensional. As a rough analogy, consider a turtle as being very solid, physically, and a jellyfish, physical yet translucent, soft, pliable, vulnerable. Some jellyfish have long streamers which carry nematocysts, the tiny stingers which are primarily for the purpose of killing small prey. Though they can inflict painful wounds on humans, the ET beings can shift dimensions and disappear completely from our visual perception. 66 Anthropologist Michael Horner described shamanism and journeying in his fine little book, The Shaman's Way. 67 John Climo wrote Channeling, the most thorough and brilliantly written book on channeling that exists anywhere. 68 Schwartz, Hariri, Puthoff, and Targ established the field of remote viewing at SRI, Stanford Research Institute. Jim Schnabel has written a very clear exposition of remote viewing, Remote 119 Sevone Viewers, The Secret History of America's Psychic Spies. Joe McMoneagle's book, Mind Trek, is an excellent personal account by one of the best remote viewers produced by the U.S. Army. Both books mention Lynn Buchanan, also one of the best reverse to come out of the Army program. Lynn now teaches CRV, controlled remote viewing, using the protocols of the original program. The only authorized CRV trainers have been trained by Lynn. 69 Larry Dossey, author of Healing Words, The Power of Prayer and the Practice of Medicine, gathered information on the power of prayer in remote healing. He was surprised to find well-documented studies showing the undeniable results of prayer, even when the receivers were unaware of the prayer being directed to them. 70. This is where physics and metaphysics intertwine. In 1964, Irish physicist John Stuart Bell took a sabbatical from the fast-paced world of high-energy physics at CERN, the European Accelerator Center in Geneva, Switzerland, to explore the byways of quantum physics. His exploration led him to formulate what has become known as Bell's theorem. Essentially, everything is connected to everything else, without regard to physical distance, time, or space, which apparently separates everything. The connection is instant, immediate, and eternal. Remote healing occurs. Remote viewing can be accurate to a large degree. Clairvoyance and precognition can be verified. A pair of electrons which separate will act as if they are still in contact, no matter where in the universe they travel. Speed of light does not govern these non-local phenomena. The facts of quantum physics have proved Bell's theorem. It does not rely on quantum theory. See Quantum Reality by Nick Herbert. 71. Universal oneness or universal consciousness is considered to be the divine consciousness, the one total awareness that is conscious of being. Everything in the universe, of universes, is a part of, and belongs to, the one consciousness of being. Every animate and inanimate thing consists of consciousness, some of lesser, some of greater degree. The universal awareness is distributed in all things, unevenly, in accordance with the nature of the thing, each with enough awareness to know its function. Everything is aware that it is connected to the mother consciousness, and to some this awareness of connection is more acute. From Bletzer's Encyclopedic Psychic Dictionary, p. 658. 72. In his book, The Medium, The Mystic, and The Physicist, Lawrence Lishant describes the clairvoyant reality as the universal oneness in which a psychic or healer can perceive all things, all people, all events, all time as a unity in the present moment, but out of any time stream. He expanded this concept through his own personal experiences and named the state of consciousness the transpsychic reality. In this state of consciousness, one knows that everything, including oneself, is a part of the one, of the all. P. 149. 73. The late Carl Sagan, a brilliant astronomer, prolific author, and the man who brought astronomy into our living rooms with the popular TV series Cosmos, speculated on the vastness of the universe and the probability of life on other planets. Within some 100 billion galaxies, each with an average of 100 billion stars, there are perhaps as many planets as stars, about 10 billion trillion. With billions and billions of stars and billions of planets, it seemed likely to Sagan that the universe is brimming over with life. Perhaps he is exploring some of those places right now. 74. George C. Andrews, Extraterrestrials Among Us, pp. 39-96. 75. Robert Temple, The Serious Mystery. 76. Keith Thompson, Angels and Aliens, pp. 70-71. 77. David Jacobs, Secret Life, pp. 30-46. 78. The most extensive exposition on the government conspiracy to suppress information on UFOs is the book above Top Secret, by Timothy Budd. 79. See Flying Saucers, by Carl Jung. 80. See Angels and Aliens, by Keith Thompson. 81. Vili has written several books with this general theme. 82. In his book, Abductions, Harvard psychiatrist John Mack reported what he discovered with a number of ostensible abductees. For many, there seemed to be a spiritual gift inherent in the 120 close encounters of the possession kind experience. 83. Bud Hopkins, Missing Time, Intruders, and Witnessed, David Jacobs, Secret Life. Bud Hopkins maintains an organization devoted to the subject of UFO abduction, Intruders Foundation, P.O. Box 30233, New York, New York 10011. 84. The typical abduction experience includes many of these events. The common elements of UFO abduction are described and delineated in David Jacobs' book The Secret Life, pp. 49-236. 85. Carla Turner, Ph.D., Into the Fringe, and Taken. 86. Raymond E. Fowler, The Watchers, pp. 148-152. 344-345, 349, 355, 87 The French Islamic scholar Henri Corbin coined the term imaginal, distinct from imaginary. 88 Ken Ring briefly describes the imaginal realm in connection with NDEs and UFO abduction in his book, The Omega Project, pp. 218-219, and 221. This is a fascinating concept and beyond the scope of this volume. 89 This was a private session and the subject, Laura, not her real name, gave permission to make the tape of the session available as a teaching aid. 90 John Mack is a professor of psychiatry at Harvard University and a Pulitzer Prize winner for his earlier book about Lawrence of Arabia. More recently, he has authored Abduction, a compilation of case histories of UFO abductees. Even with his credentials, he has been harshly criticized by mental health professionals for dealing in this questionable arena. His tenure at Harvard was even challenged. This doesn't say much for the university mentality, which should be focused on the search for truth on whatever new horizons which emerge. 91 C. Psychiatric Dictionary, 5th ed., by Robert Campbell, M.D., p. 380. 92 The New Testament, Revelations 12, 7-12, 17, tells the story of Lucifer being cast from heaven and hurled down to earth by Archangel Michael. One third of the stars of heaven followed him, that is, one third of the God-created beings accompanied the one called Lucifer, which means light-bearer. This dragon was enraged with the woman, Universal Mother, and went away to make war on the rest of her children, human beings. Is it metaphorical? Is it archetypal? Is it symbolic of human consciousness? 93 Described by David Jacobs in his book, Secret Life, the alien-slash-human hybrid experimentation is truly mind-boggling. pp. 87-131. In his later book, The Threat, Jacobs goes on to expose what he sees as the frightening plans for Earth and its inhabitants. In stark and somber analysis of over 100 cases of alien abduction, he unveils a chilling picture of our profoundly changed future in which humans will be relegated to an inferior status in a world dominated by aliens. He reveals evidence that 1. The aliens are creating a breed of alien-human hybrids. 2. The aliens protect the secrecy of the breeding program. 3. Alien-human hybridization is at the center of the abduction phenomenon, not just an experimental adjunct. 4. The aliens are in the process of integrating into our planet. Jacobs offers evidence that the alien presence is far from benevolent, as some researchers claim, but is, instead, profoundly ominous. He states, "Now I fear for the future of my own children." He offers no real solution, and sees little hope for the future of humanity. He has been unaware of spirit releasement therapy. 94 Bud Hopkins Intruders describes Kathy's experience of abduction, including the removal of her unborn infant. This is a landmark volume, revealing this disturbing aspect of UFO activity. 95 Lisa Royal and Keith Priest have published some fascinating books on such speculations, particularly Visitors from Within. 96 John Mack, in Abduction, suggests the interaction with aliens is part of a transformational, spiritual evolution process for humankind. 97 See the Complete Book of Devils and Demons, by Leonard R. N. Ashley, pp. 235-237. 98 Raymond Fowler's book, The Watchers, chronicles the abduction experiences of Betty Andreessen Luca. She described in vivid detail under hypnosis the hybrids, the incubatorium, the nursery, and produced excellent sketches as well. 121 Savy 99 Drive, J. Alan Hynek developed this scheme for analyzing the evidence. See UFO, The Complete Sightings, p. 149. 100 Physician Stephen Greer founded this group, the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence, EI, with headquarters in Asheville, North Carolina. XETI is committed to the vital long-term development of bilateral ETI human communication and exchange, and open public education on the subject, taken from XETI's description and purpose. 101 CUFO, The Complete Sightings, by Peter Brooksmith, page 149. 102 DID, formerly MPD, is described in the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, 4th edition, published by the American Psychiatric Association, pp. 477-491. 103 Carla Turner and her family and some friends certainly suffered as the result of their interactions with aliens. On page 267 of her book, Taken, she describes several experiencers who have refused to cooperate with the intruders. Kim Carlsberg gives a short chapter in her book, Beyond My Wildest Dreams, entitled How to Stop Abduction, 278-282, 104 Fior, edit, Encounters, 105 C Abductions by John Mack, M.D., 106 Janet Bergmark, in her book, In the Presence of Aliens, describes what she calls a personal experience of dual consciousness. She is describing exactly the condition of attachment by Annette. In the foreword, her therapist mentioned spirit attachment and spirit releasement, yet the book contains no such information. There are specific SRT techniques for identifying and releasing such attachments. 107 David Jacobs describes this process in Secret Life. 108 This is the third book written by Drive. Fior. Her first was You Have Been Here Before. A Psychologist Looks at Past Lives. The second was The Unquiet Dead. A Psychologist Treats Spirit Possession. These three books reflect her clinical experience with past life memories, cases of possession, and alien abductions. Writing them reveals her great courage in the face of professional criticism. 109 Carla Turner has written three fine books about the darker side of alien abduction. Into the Fringe, Taken, and Masquerade of Angels. The experience of her family and the others she describes ranges from unpleasant to terrifying. 110 Kim Carlsberg describes her experience of abduction beautifully and poetically in her book Beyond My Wildest Dreams. Her experiences over a number of years include producing a human-slash-alien hybrid baby girl. Toward the end of the book, she states how she truly despises the aliens for abducting her, yet how she appreciates the way her consciousness has been stretched through the process. A very personal account. 111 This is described as louche, in Robert Munro's book, Journeys Out of the Body. 112 C. Munro's Journeys Out of the Body. 113 One section of Sandra Ingerman's book, Soul Retrieval Details Soul Theft, pp. 98-119. 114 Psychic Vampirism, in the Vampire Book, The Encyclopedia of the Undead, by J. Gordon Milton, pp. 489-492. 115 A nice book on this subject is Journey of Souls, by Michael Newton. 116 The concept of an actual, sentient, non-physical being, the source of evil as opposed to the supreme deity, is an ancient notion which continues to be debated. As used in this chapter and in this book, it may be considered as a symbolic metaphor, an archetypal figure drawn from human experience in the collective unconsciousness. 117 An interesting description of the pact with the devil can be found in Ruth Nanda Anshin's The Reality of the Devil, Evil in Man, pp. 49-56. 118 Wicca was the earth religion, the witch was the practitioner, the witch was the healer, knowledgeable about herbs, conversant with spirits. This often frightened the ignorant and superstitious folk. It was often the father of a child healed by the witch who leveled charges of witchcraft and trafficking with the devil, against the gentle woman. In her expanded loving nature, she might have also granted him sexual favors. The guilt and self-recrimination would be too much for the man. In the throes of the pain of searing flesh as she was being burned at the 122 close encounters of the possession kind stake, this woman of the earth, loving and spiritually evolved, the witch, would call out for vengeance against these hypocrites. The dark force and entities, hearing that call, would oblige and the pact with the darkness was cemented in place. 119 Genesis 9:15 and Genesis 17:7. 120 New Sayings of Jesus from a Greek Papyrus, 1903. 121 Gerald Brittle, in his book, The Demonologist, described the work of Ed and Lorraine Warren. He also supplied good background on the exorcism procedures of the Catholic Church, including this fact on page 200. 122 Contained in the New Testament, Revelations 12 gives us an account of the rebellion and the eviction of Lucifer. 123 These great light beings are universal and eternal. They are not associated with any particular organized church or religion. Human beings in the past have developed the rules and restrictions of organized religions around misperceptions, misinterpretations, fear, magical thinking, philosophical dogma, and individual beliefs. They have attempted to claim certain elevated spirit beings as property of their churches. This is the arrogance of the human ego. 126 Emanuel Swedenborg explored the inner realms of the spiritual reality during extensive deep meditation. He described a vast taxonomy of beings. Wilson Van Dusen, a psychologist employed for 17 years at the Mendocino State Hospital in California, explored a similar taxonomy of entities through the voices of mental patients at the hospital. There was a definite correlation. Van Dusen wrote of his discoveries in his book, The Presence of Other Worlds. 125 See the author, book, Spirit Releasement Therapy, A Technique Manual, pp. 323-349. 126 This is the term used to describe the techniques of hypnosis used in dentistry. Hypnosis is very effective in dental practice. Few dentists use the technique as it takes time and time is money in the dental office. 127 See Stangeroff's book Realms of the Human Unconscious. 128 See Diltz, et al., Aerolinguistic Programming, Volume 1, The Study of the Structure of Subjective Experience. 129 Adam Crabtree has produced an excellent book, Trance Zero, describing the many trances we fall into, suggesting that the state of zero trance, the fully awake state, is something worth striving toward. 130 See any book on the history and evolution of psychology, such as A History of Modern Psychology, 3rd ed., by Dwayne Schultz, pp. 8-11. 131 is described in the British medical journal Lancet. 132 See Ellen Brugger's The Discovery of the Unconscious, p. 338. 133 See Gauss The Founders of Psychical Research, p. 359. 134 See Kroger's Clinical and Experimental Hypnosis, p. 212. 135 See Bauort's Operation Mind Control, and Thomas' Journey into Madness. 136 Ibid. 137 See Schnabel's Remote Viewers, Morehouse's Psychic Warrior, and McMoneagle's Mind Trek. 138 See Delgado's Physical Control of the Mind. 139 See Bauort's Operation Mind Control, Constantine's Psychic Dictatorship in the U.S.A. 140 See Thomas' Journey into Madness, Bauort's Operation Mind Control. 141 Between 95% and 100% of diagnosed multiple personality cases have a history of childhood incest, torture or other abuse. Putnam, p. 11. 142 Sociology professor Jeffrey Victor's book Satanic Panic is an intelligently written book debunking Satanism, suggesting that there is no evidence, which is false, and the memories of victims are invalid, which is patently arrogant and uninformed opinion. Victor's work might be seen as a parallel to the debunking of UFO contact and abduction. What is the motivation for purposeful disinformation? 143 See Bauort's Operation Mind Control, Constantine's Psychic Dictatorship in the U.S.A. 144 See Chen's books give a fascinating account of how the Anunnaki and their activities were. 123 Savi chronicled in Genesis and other ancient texts. The titles are The Twelfth Planet, The Stairway to Heaven, The Wars of Gods and Men, The Lost Realms, When Time Began, and the companion volume, Genesis Revisited. 145 See Sechen's Divine Encounters. 146 See Bramley's Gods of Eden. 147 Teats, UFOs and Mental Health, p. 68. 148 See Lindemann's UFOs and the Alien Presence, Chapter 4. 149 The Greenbaum Lecture on Ritual Abuse, MPD and Mind Control, delivered at the 4th Annual Eastern Regional Conference on Abuse and Multiple Personality, Thursday, June 25, 1992, at the Radisson Plaza Hotel, Mark Center, Alexandria, Virginia. 150 See Thomas' Journey into Madness. 151 See Ravenscroft's The Spear of Destiny. This author traces Hitler's path through the occult into the seat of power in the nation of Germany. 152 See Corso's The Day After Roswell. 124 Close Encounters of the Possession Kind Index of Abductee 11, 55, 56, 74 Abduction 51, 54 Alien 41 Animism 14 Archangel Michael 90 Archetype 13 54 B Birth Regression 22 Blocked in Life 46 Body Scan 42 Brazil 40 Breeding Program 56 65 C Catholic Church 39 CVI 68 Chakra 19 36 81 Channeling 11 19 51 62 68 Christ Consciousness 90 CIA 64 98 102 Creator Source 30 105 Cultural Trance 95 D Demon 39 41 45 82 83 85 90 98 102 104 Demon Possession 14 96 DFEs 15 18 33 36 37 38 39 40 41 45 46 48 70 73 80 82 85 90 92 94 100 Diabetes 27 Diabolos 94 DIDA and DMPD 69 98 Disappearing Pregnancy 56 65 Discarnate Interference 13 Disinformation 53 Disobsession 40 Dog and Tribe 53 Dream 27 Dual Identity 74 77 Dual Past Life Regression 19 E Earthbound Souls 39 EPS 15 40 41 71 87 Entities Human 42 Entities Non-Human 45 Etheric Body 28 8 7 15 18 32 37 39 40 41 44 47 64 68 70 73 80 81 91 100 Exorcism 14 35 39 90 93 94 Extraterrestrial 41 G Guided Imagery 29 H Harvesting Energy 33 81 83 Haunted House 37 High Self 50 Homeworld 30 103 Homeworld Council 7 48 79 81 88 Human Sacrifice 33 Hybrid 44 65 66 Hypnodonics 95 Hypnosis 8 95 96 Hypnotherapist 32 I Implanted Devices 32 79 Incubatorium 65 Incubus and Succubus 85 Interim Between Lives Halls of Learning 30 Life Script 30 105 Planning Stage 30 Review Stage 30 K Karma 30 105 L Light 28 34 Lucifer 18 39 64 69 90 105 125 Savi and Mandala 54 Medical Spiritist Association 40 Medium 50 Memory 22 Metal Band 47 Metallic Skull Cap 49 Monad 30 47 90 North and DE 38 and DE and UFO 56 Nested Entity 37 Newtonian Cartesian Paradigm 12 54 Nordic 32 OUB 24 84 Organ Transplant 36 P Pact with the Devil 86 Past Life Therapy 14, 17, 23, 26, 35, 51, 83, 94, 102, 104 Prince of Darkness 94 A Radical Empiricism 13 Recovery of Soul Fragmentation 14, 23, 35, 50, 71, 94, 104 Remote Spirit Releasement 36, 50, 51, 104 Renunciation of the Darkness 87 Rescue Spirits of Light 90 Roman Ritual 39 South Satan 94 Satanism 98 Scientific Method 11, 35 Screen Memory 64 SETI 11 Shadow 45 Space Brothers 11, 31, 68 Spirit Attachment 14, 37 Spirit Possession 14, 17 Spirit Releasement Therapy 14 Spirit Releasement Therapy 35, 51, 71, 94, 104 Spiritism 40 Spiritual Immune System 14, 41 Spiritual Realm 12 Spiritualism 14, 39 Star Trek 16 Subpersonality 14, 24 Suicide 31, 38, 45 T-Tank Farm 82 The Colonists 73 The Scientists 18, 78 The Three Deceptions 82, 92 Twins 44 UFO and Spiritual Transformation 63 V Vampire 84 Vanishing Twin Phenomenon 44 Vengeance 36 West Warrior Angels of Light 90 Windows of the Soul 46 Z Zeitgeist 96 126